This week's episode of The Friend Zone is brought to you by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. With Talkspace, therapy is as easy as sending your therapist a message. No commute, no leaving the office, no squeezing in an appointment during your lunch hour, and no judgments. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/zone and use the code ZONE to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today. Okay.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time
Friend Zone.
I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
And they love me and I love them. And they take care of me and I'm taking care of them back. And I don't play with everybody because I can't fight them. And I'm not playing. So you better be uncomfortable because I will do that. So don't play with me today. Bye, going to school.
What in the Ruby Sapphire just happened?
We need backstory.
No. What you just were privy to, you know, as always, we always start the show with something A, inspirational, B, educational, and C, sourced, you know, in the not so common places. Today, once again, we return to the land of out of the mouths of babes, right? With this video of a young lady wise far beyond her years who was giving a dictation of sorts on her love for her parents. Mm. And she opened by saying, she was talking to a camera in the morning before she went to school, so she's a scholarly young lady. She was saying that I love my parents. Okay, and I don't play about them, and I will fight you. I will do that. So please don't think I'm playing. Okay, and then the hashtag of the week, as you know, we always pull it from there.
Yes,
it's gonna be hashtag by going to school. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you what this week is about.
Where did you even find this?
This week it's about focus, right? Obviously, even in the midst of times that are trying, when you're defending your honor or someone's honor, your love for your family, that takes a lot out of you. You know what I mean? Emotionally, spiritually, sometimes even physically, if you have to beat their ass. So for this young lady to be, you know, giving something so, you know, just focused, and then to be able to refocus on her more priority, her matters of priority, right? Which was going to school, so she no longer had time to talk about it.
Yes.
By going to school. She was respectful enough to let you know why she was making her exit. So, as always, we are going to source the hashtag from that. And the hashtag this week is by going to school. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, and most importantly understood, we just got a couple of QTNAs, which are questions that need answers and also questions that niggas is asking.
QTNAs.
Okay?
Question one.
Oh, God.
How long, in minutes and seconds, did it take the investigating officer who questioned Cardi B to stop laughing and get down to business after Culture's mom sat at the table and opened their discussion with, "What's good, bitch?" Question two. Will NeNe Leakes,
NeNe Leakes,
make yet another career milestone by winning an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress after her soul-stirring turn as Lil Yachty's mom?
Wow.
In their upcoming feature film, specifically for her delivery of the threat to, quote, slap them braids out his head.
What?
And question three.
Wow.
Which one of y'all?
Which one of y'all?
Said that Kellyanne Conway,
oh, God,
looked like she could deal the shit out of Hand of Cards. Because I don't care what nobody say. Kellyanne Conway looked like a white woman that could play cards. I don't care what nobody say. Okay?
Oh, my God. Dustin always kills me with the which one of y'all.
Right. Knowing it's his ass.
Thank you. Being said and most importantly understood, I want to take this opportunity to welcome everyone to the Friend Zone.
Yes.
Right? Which is your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the hell wants a musty brain? I know none of us do. No. With that being said, hey, friend.
Hey, Dustin.
How you doing?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
You know, my weekend was good. It was a weekend of work for me. I did squeeze in a little bit of play. Me and Kid Fury stepped out in these streets and dipped a toe in the water.
Where'd y'all go?
We went to PS 450 on the east side here in New York. You know, Slib, he was back in the booth in the corner. You know, that's where all the secrets are told and kept. So we was back there in the corner. We had a good time. And I worked the rest of the weekend like a Hebrew slave. And, you know, here I am. Yeah. How was your weekend is the question, friend. Because I know you was doing a little mingling and dangling this weekend.
Oh, gosh. My weekend was mingling and dangling.
She's doing a little mingling and dang, dang. Little dang, dang. Little dang, dang.
My weekend was good. I was working the sister of... Oh, my God. The Circle of Sisters Expo, which, funny enough, was right next door to RuPaul's DragCon.
Yes.
So that was an interesting mix of black women and drag. Yeah.
Both circles of sisters.
For sure. Okay.
But it was awesome. I was made a joke on Twitter that Bobby Brown walked into the green room with an outfit that I almost wore. And I think that that would have been epic. I'm low-key sad I didn't wear it.
I do wish you would have worn it.
Because we would have done it side-by-side.
Sure, like,
best.
Oh my God.
Just for that moment. Just for that moment.
Bobby stole my look. I don't like to say bitch stole my look, but Bobby can fight.
Just to be able to say, hey, friend, hey, was wearing the same outfit as Bobby.
Who wore it best? You know, we would have done it side by side.
It wouldn't have been cruel.
Oh my God. But it was super fun. I actually want to shout out for the Black Business of the Week. We'll do it nice and early.
Right. Yes.
Because I want you guys to support the app. So what it is, the partnership I was doing at Circle of Sisters, thanks to Hot 97 and WBLS. Shout out to Lenny Green.
Wow,
the
legend.
Quiet Storm. Did you hear him say my name on the Instagram?
God.
I wanted to die. He
what
was
a
like, Francesca. I was like, hi, oh my God. He, I had to copy that. Wow. I saved it on my phone.
I was
phone.
Just gonna ask if you had the wave file.
Right? Low key, that'll be like my producer tag if I ever start making music.
Yes.
No, but the app that I want you guys to check out, it's made from the same company as Tinder. Yeah, they over here cracking me up. Tinder and Match. But it's the Black app, and it's called BLK.
Wow.
Yes, and the owner is Black, and he hails out of Charlotte, NC. It's up and coming, so obviously there's not like a ton of people on it, but it has to grow, right? So that you can find your match. What I love about it is that it's not just about dating. It's just about people who want to link up, have common interests, want to hang, whatever it is you're looking for on the app, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find it.
That's so crazy.
Now's the time to get on it, too, if it hasn't broken big, because let me tell you something.
Yeah, still a baby.
The people who are on the cusp and the people who know what time it is with shit, that means that they're on it now.
Right.
So if you want a person who's, like, ahead of the curve and, you know, cool, and you better get on it so you can get on it.
Jump on it. If you look, it's on the Apple Store. Just look for BLK app, and it'll pop right up. It's a really nice app. I love that the interface is literally all black.
Dope.
Like everything on the app is black. So support them. They're young, up and coming. I want them to get as big as Tinder and as big as Match.
Absolutely.
And all the other apps. So definitely check them out. If you want to check them out on Instagram and give them some follows, because they're, you know, it's a hella young site. So give them some push. It's meet_BLK. That's their Instagram. Go show them some love. Tell them I sent you. Shout out to them for partnering with me this weekend. We had a blast.
That's dope, friends.
What about you, Asante?
Well, what I was going to say is, because you said Charlotte, North Carolina, we're actually going to be there this weekend.
That's
yes,
right.
We are.
So, you know, go ahead and go to thefriendzonelive.com if you haven't got tickets. And since you're from there, download the app and let us
right,
know how what's going
there.
On the show. Okay. But yeah, my weekend was awesome. It was amazing. I played a lot of video games. I'm getting very, very good at Shinobi Striker.
Nice. I don't know what that is.
It is a Naruto and Boruto game, which you have no clue what that means either. And that's fine.
Sounds like a porn choreography move.
Maybe, actually.
Right,
it could
good.
Be.
Shinobi Striker. Next scene is a Shinobi Striker.
That very well could go that way. I also purchased a new Pokemon game because they were giving away a free Pokemon when you purchase a free shiny Pokemon.
But, oh, cute.
Yes. So I've been doing a lot of gaming this weekend.
Self-care.
And I also went to the Danity Kane concert.
How was Dawn?
Dawn was amazing.
Of course.
Dawn was great. She was a star. She was my heart. She was everything I needed.
What solo stuff did she do?
Oh shit! She did Calypso.
Oh man!
She did not Wild and Faith. What's the original one? Wild and Young. Yeah. And then she had people doing the dances and shit. And
did she do an acoustic set?
No, she brought up the guitar when she did her new song Jealousy.
Oh, okay. I saw the video with the guitar. Yes. I was like, I didn't know she played.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's amazing. It was great seeing her. And shout out to her best friend who was working at Merch Table who said she was a friend of the show. So,
oh, sweet. Hey.
Yeah, she gave me a free candle. That was lit. I bought a t-shirt because I like the new song Jealousy as well. But yeah, Danny Kane concert was lit. The Dumb Blonde songs performed. I had no idea really what was going on. I'm not hating on the other two girls. I just didn't really know their catalog.
That's right. Fair.
But it was good to see them do the songs together. So I was like, okay, I'm here for Danny Kane. They did a good performance. If they had like a big label behind them to say, okay, bitches, let's get one final project and you're going to actually do it this time, I think that they would, you know, really put that money to use.
Dope.
So yeah, it was good. Great weekend.
Awesome.
Great weekend. Beautiful weekend.
You guys ready to jump to the recap?
Let's recap this.
So on last week's episode, we had an episode titled Social Cues, where we talked about people's inability to read them or maybe the fact that they just ignore them. And as usual, you guys had a lot to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to give a shout out to Nicole in the email. She said, hey, guys, I love the last episode on social cues. You guys really hit a chord in regards to parents forcing their kids to speak and hug other people. When my youngest son started camp and introduced himself, he had a statement ready. The problem was I didn't know he would be so vocal. Hi, my name is Will. This is my mom. No one touches my penis and not one touches my butt.
Wow.
And I didn't touch anyone's butt. And I don't touch anyone's butt or anyone's privates. If someone makes me, then my mom will handle it.
Wow.
The counselor turned beet red and said, I'm sorry, what did you say? To which my son replied again loudly and clearly and told a story. He then looked at me as if to make sure he got it right and said, right, mom? And I said, yes, you are 100% right. Then went to his locker to hang up his things, and I apologized to the counselor for making her uncomfortable. When she took a deep breath, I reminded her that, that if need be, I will handle it, though. Better safe than sorry. And much rather a blunt, honest kid any day, no matter how heavy the headache. Social cues, especially during this renovation of what society allows, is crucial. And our kids must be comfortable in expressing and defending themselves. Shout out to Nicole for that. Because it's so often that, you know, I remember growing up in the era of be seen, not heard. So the fact that her child was vocal and she was still like, yeah. And then said, you know, girl, but if he get out of line, you know, I got you. Like, that's real. What about you, Fran? What stood out to you in the comments?
So Heart of a Lion 90 on SoundCloud said something that also should be discussed are folks on the autism spectrum. That just naturally don't pick up on these things. Starting to realize I might be slightly on it because being in a large family has helped me understand basic social skills, but I really had to work and I'm still working to try to understand social cues of my peers. Genuinely nice person that most folks tend to like to speak to, so if I'm approached, I can do decently with interacting, but trying to start an interaction with someone I really want to be around can be hella hard. Apparently, if I've even missed out on a ton of opportunities talking to women just because I was oblivious to all the cues or just misinterpreted them. So while, yes, some people might just straight up ignore them, there are others that just lack the skill and have to put in work to learn social cues. So that was a big one, which I was like, you know what, we're going to have to do a part two. Yes. Because I got a lot of emails from people on the autism spectrum that were like, it's hard for them. You know, they just don't pick up on them naturally. And like Heart of a Lion said in the comment, it's something that they are learning and kind of have to make an extra effort. And sometimes it can be misinterpreted that they are being rude or ignoring you when people don't realize that they're on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So something to consider. A lot of that did come up about street harassment, which I was like, wow, this could be a really interesting conversation. I think it would be tricky because some people were saying, well, what if the dudes that we deem as like street harassers really genuinely don't pick up on cues when you are like, leave me alone.
So that's like, pretty direct though. That's not necessarily a cue. Leave me alone. Right? Leave me alone. Right. So what the fuck you mean you ain't pick up on it? I didn't put it down. I just said it. Leave me alone. How you get lost in that?
So yeah, but I've had people on the spectrum email me.
Oh, people
saying,
on the spectrum,
right?
Got it. I know what you. Okay,
sometimes they even struggled where they might not just read it properly or misinterpret what things mean. Because you know, sometimes we won't say straight out, "Leave me alone."
Yeah.
Sometimes it can get blurry. Like I mentioned, my personal challenge with social cues isn't that I can't read them, but learning how to connect to people who don't read them. Mm. Like, how do I tell you what my boundary is, because I always start feeling bad. Like, well, I don't want to be mean and blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of where it gets blurry and watery for me.
I just want to clear up that I didn't know you meant you were talking about people on the spectrum. Not for you, but for people that are listening to the show. I know
of course, yeah.
But yeah, I thought you meant people like were like, oh, well, you know, how did you not pick up on the social cue of me telling you leave me alone? What the fuck you mean? But now that I know that there's other challenges involved, absolutely, right. You need to be, yeah.
Yeah, just to be, I feel like it's something to consider.
Definitely.
And I think it would be a good conversation to have. I really wish we could get someone on the spectrum to come on the show.
Yeah.
Because it'd be better to have a first-hand experience conversation. So I'll definitely look into that. But what about you, Dustin? What'd you find?
So I was in the Twitter streets, I want to give a quick shout out to La Comtesse Jamie, L.A., like the city, C-O-M-T-E-S-S-E, Jamie, like it should be spelled. And her tweet says, someone I know blocked Fox News with parental controls at her parents' house, and now her mom keeps calling asking why they can't watch their news program. And I truly believe this is how we can save America. So I thought that was a great life hack, parent hack, mama hack, daddy hack. Yeah. Like, you know, use the parental controls on your parents. And plus, that'll feel good as a kid anyway, no matter how old you are. I also want to give a huge shout out to Kelly Scaletta, who tweeted, as soon as I can get back to the damn app, because somebody just texted me and knocked me out of the app. Anyway, who tweeted, remember, there's nothing to prevent the Democrats from initiating impeachment of Kavanaugh for perjuring himself during the confirmation hearings once they take the House in November. We don't even need to elaborate. I think that just, you know, is self-explanatory. Last shout out, because we're going to make this quick. I want to give one to @charpat82, CHARPATT82, who said, hashtag meet the Matthews 92818. During the toast, the groom said, quote, from tonight until Sunday morning, we will be unavailable, so please respect our privacy at this time.
Lord.
So it's made its way to weddings now.
Are you serious?
Yes, and shout out to them. Congratulations
Dustin
on their union.
Worldwide.
Okay.
Please respect your privacy at this goddamn time. And I wouldn't be, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't quote America's Badass, America's _badass, who tweeted a hilarious story that they made of Siri clowning these really big sneakers that Azealia Banks had on.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was my sort of comedy. It was so funny.
It was hilarious.
You know, if you are having Wanda Smith and Cat Williams withdrawals, find that tweet. And that's all I'm going to say. That's it. We can go on and wrap this up.
So now we want to let you guys know that we have a very special guest in the building.
Very special.
Yes.
Guess who I'm sitting next to?
Yes.
Estelle.
Yes.
Brr, brr, brr,
yes.
We got Estelle in the building.
Stifle the laughter.
That's an honor of your album.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Oh, my. So, I mean, I don't, like, where do we even start?
I have a question.
Please.
And I feel like this
jump
is a good
in.
Way to just get it started.
Go ahead.
I've always wanted to ask somebody this, and so since I have the chance,
I'm about to.
Okay. No, it's
That's
good.
That's never a good chance.
In this case, it is. I promise you.
I don't know what he's going to ask you. I'm sorry.
What did you do, or what are you doing with, or where is your Grammy?
It's behind my computer. It's behind my computer in my house.
It's behind your computer in your house.
That
so it's
is
like,
so
is it in
no
like
one knows
a
where
case?
I live, so I'm good.
Like, no, it's like in a case. Yeah, is it on the shelf? Okay.
It's in a case. That's the one I kept. Mm-hmm. Because I gave everything to my mom. Mm-hmm. And then I started bringing them back home because mm-hmm. it was a rebirth thing that we'll discuss. Mm-hmm. But I definitely would just send it home to my mum. But that one was like, I dreamt that up on a balcony when I was in my lowest point.
Yes.
I'm keeping this guy.
Keeping that. That's
keeping
right.
This guy right.
I always wanted to know that. See, y'all thought I was going to be on my bullshit.
Yeah, that was.
That's a good question. Right. Can we talk about when it first came to your house? Were you just staring at it for a couple of days?
I just looked it in the box. Like, holy shit.
With your name all up on the front of a Grammy.
Man.
Like that feeling, I know that had to be like, God damn.
Out of here.
man.
Out here, like, I remember seeing, it's like the Grammy's the highest validation of you ain't crazy in this industry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just like, okay, mm-hmm. we do all these things and it's great. Mm-hmm. They fail, they go good, they do well, we do well in different places, but, and it's not even on some like, oh, the pop world validation, it's just on some, we've all been doing this for so long. Yeah. And there are people who, there's Aretha, there's whoever, these people, these producers, these writers, these people turn up and they validate whether who did their good work this year.
Yep.
And I got one of them.
That's the shit, like, Estelle.
All right, I'm not crazy. I've been nominated a couple of times and I feel like I'm not nuts. I feel like I'm in this and I have a career. We good.
Yes. Yep.
And I feel all right.
And well deserved too.
Thank you, man.
Yes. That's all I want to know.
No, I mean, that's a good way to start. So I want to take it all the way back. So I was researching.
Oh, Lord. We in a time machine.
You know we got to do it. So I was reading that your parents didn't let you listen to secular music growing up.
We listen so.
Super religious. So I need to know. Where did American boy?
Yes.
Church people be the worst. Like, we're out here. Church girls are the worst, FYI. It's true. No. So my mom, as a kid, we were allowed. Like, my mom and dad, reggae music, all of that. Nina Simone, dancehall, soca, African music. That was my house, right? And then I would go to school and it'd be Duran Duran. My mom and my stepdad got into church. I was like 13, 12. And then it was like,
ooh.
There were so many outfits. So many records.
Oh,
that
no.
That are gone forever.
Really?
That I know. I just feel like I would be so fresh, you know, in life. I feel like if my mom had the same perspective as Beyonce when she said, save my dresses for blue and, I just wish in life, because I know they were fur coats, they were leather pants. I wouldn't have to go buy none of that right now.
Right.
Oh, man.
She was fly. And then she went to church and said, this is my worldly things. Take it away. Mm. She gave them all away.
Oh.
And then that's when it became real Christian, strict, Kojic, our version of Kojic, Church of God of Prophecy. You know, this is what you do.
Oh, wow. So you were already 13.
I was like, yeah, like 12, 13.
How was that though, transitioning from worldly things?
Right, we didn't completely transition. Mad about it,
exactly. You know
what I'm saying? You know? Like, this is really fucked up, y'all.
No, like, I was mad because, like, my stepdad was in and out though. He like, we go to church and then he'd be like, have weed. And I remember him always having this like little roach, and he'd be sleeping on the couch with the roach. We would go like,
OG
pull
shit.
It out of his hand, pretend to smoke and stuff, and, like, put it back, like, hold up, it's a little white one, the white paper, hopeful. Oh, it was a mess. But, and then he got really into it, and then it was just all the way wrapped up. But the good side is, I learned Clark Sisters were my foundation.
Hey.
Amen. You know,
like, them and my, like, oh my goodness, if I could sing like Karen Clark, I would stop.
Man,
you know, I'm that's my inspo too.
Do you
like
understand?
That voice,
jeez, it's not real, it's not fair. How do you sound like that
and effortlessly? Just, like, she doesn't even like she's trying.
She,
half the time.
I saw a video of her practicing to Aretha.
Oh, Lord,
and that set me on my like, okay, girl, go and rehearse, go in the room and sing something.
Going nuts, going nuts.
She was in the car, like, and I was just like, oh, I'm gonna go practice now.
You was like, oh, my time to go warm up.
My time.
So, when we gonna get that Balm and Gilead cover?
Yeah,
we really want. You should go on and fuck Balm and Gilead up one time real quick. You know what I'm saying?
There is a bomb.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, I'm telling
okay,
y'all.
Take us through now.
Man.
I got chills already.
You feel me?
Already. Hair standing up.
She's like, oh, she's the gold standard.
Yeah.
They're the gold standard.
Yeah.
To me, jazz, just gospel. And then just singing.
Yeah.
And then just from feeling. Like,
right. There's so that was standard, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was so my opening.
Then when did you cross back over then?
To the other side. Uh-huh. It just go when I was a teenager and I was like, I don't want to do this no more. Got my bits about me. I'm in my wilds. And now I'm just going to go be wild. And so I was. So I'm back in the streets. And then, you know, Sunday mornings you're back at church. And then you realize that it's all subjective.
Yeah. Mm.
It's all very much like, depending on who wants to feel as good as they need to feel this week. And,
yeah,
you know, and yeah, and that's how we kind of left church, because it was a lot. The pastor was out here preaching on my family's business. And my mom was like, oh, no.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I was like 19 when I got like really up on it. Like, all right, I don't know that this is what
for
we
you.
Need to, for me. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of like, well, I know that you're never going to depart from the way of the Lord because I have taught you well, mm-hmm. but you don't have to come to the building.
Yeah.
You don't have to come. That's dope that she said that. Though.
Okay.
Yeah. She was like, you're grown enough. You don't have to. And it was like my freedom. Like it was like a, okay.
Oh my God.
You know?
Wow. And you're the second oldest of nine?
Mm-hmm. Oldest wow. girl.
Can you, I'm an only child.
Oh God.
I grew up in a big family, so I kind of know what it is to, because you know, all my uncles, we all lived in the same house growing up.
Same.
Like 100 people. So I kind of know, but siblings, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
How was that growing up, especially with these transitions from secular to worldly to secular to worldly?
You just roll with it. I feel like you start, like you get older and you like go through therapy because... Had
mm-hmm.
to happen.
Shout out to therapy.
Shout out.
Okay. I found out about it from this show, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out to Talkspace.
That's give the you guys best promo the ever.
Like I found out about it from this show, and there's so many other things you guys have blessed me with that I just, you know, I'm grateful you're here and you exist.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, like, real life. What a
co-sign. Yeah. Okay.
And so, like, it was like you realize a lot of things weren't normal, but you just kind of roll through them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what it was like growing up with many, many brothers and sisters. We have each other's backs to the ends of the earth, but we all went through a lot of stuff, young, you know, mm-hmm. a lot. And I'm just grateful that we're all pretty good. We're all right. We're well adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're all doing the work. We're helping each other do the work, you know. But everyone's good. No one's in jail, locked up, on drugs, crazy. No,
right.
No, they're doing good.
How they take it watching their sister, like, out here in music videos, winning Grammys, like.
The weirdest. They're good. As long as, so there's an older bunch and a younger bunch. The younger bunch, as long as they've known me, I've been famous.
Mm, true.
Because they literally were born, I was 18 when the younger set came along.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very much like, well, you've been famous since I was in primary school. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, when we moved them out the area because it was like, nah, you're not taking these trainers I have in storage into school to sell them. What are you doing?
Oh,
like, little things like that. And it's my little sister. I was like, what in the little girl? Like, so,
they're like, are you crazy? Estelle is my goddamn sister. Right, are you out like, your mind? What? Estelle is my sister.
All of that. Yeah. Being fast, though. Like, you know, doing too much. And I was like, this is the life I chose. I, like, don't want them in it.
Yeah,
or to be affected by it more than they're going to be affected by it because of my choices.
Yeah.
So I kind of keep them so far out protected from it because, yeah, like there's so many of them and I'm the oldest girl too. I'm the oldest woman
at
this point. And it's like, nah, I'll fight somebody.
For real.
It's real. It's no games.
Okay.
Don't talk about them. Don't talk. Like the little girl said.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And I will do that.
I will do that.
It's real. Try. Bye. Going to school.
Bye. Going to work.
So any other.
Going to America now.
That's it.
Any other talented siblings?
Yes. I have a sister who's a singer and a songwriter. She helped me write on a lot of my early records.
It's really?
A song called 1980. Yeah. So in the beginning of it, my very first single is a song called 1980. And it's at the beginning of it, I'm like H Boogie. And everyone was like, who's H Boogie? I'm like, Hydara, it's my sister Hydara. So,
sweet.
So like, she sings and she writes songs and she's done like so much at home already. But yeah.
Do y'all do songs together?
We did. And then we decided that we liked each other as sisters.
Got it. Totally understand.
Yep. And I was like, no, this is not going to be it.
Yep.
You can't go on the road with me and I cuss you out. And
you
don't want to punch me in the face and then it's a fight.
Yeah. Right.
It's going to be a fight.
But at the very least, there's enough of a catalog for like a special occasion, maybe. Yeah. Like, I'm going to bring my sister out.
Yeah, I've got records and she knows and I trust her to just be like, yeah, you good. Do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, I can trust her to do that. We've had fun.
So I was telling Estelle that I feel like we summoned her because mm-hmm. I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. Dustin was just telling us that the Love & Hip Hop franchise will be going to London.
Yeah.
And we were saying how we were hyped about it and I was saying I would... I was hyped because I've always been curious about London's Get Down. Oh, you know, not just the movies on Netflix.
Basically, we want to know about the hood in London.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, like, well, and that's why we're looking forward to Love & Hip Hop London, even though I know it'll be, like, some sort of, you know, diluted bullshit.
Okay, wait, have they told you he's going to be on it yet?
They have not. It's just been rumored that the franchise is coming and people have seen, like, scouts in the area, whatever.
Yeah. But if you were to think of people that might be on it.
Yeah.
If you were to maybe dream up a cast.
Oh, my goodness.
Who would you think to be on this cast?
I don't know.
Skepta.
Nah. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to do it. It's a... It's a perception with that.
Got it.
You know, that's one thing. But also,
who are the hood boogers of London?
I'm an adult and I try not to kick it with the hood boogers. No. There's some hood boogers out there. This is definitely like what? Okay, sure. I don't know.
We want drinks thrown. We want chairs thrown. It's good
that people would do it for the entertainment because they see what happens. They see how popping it gets. Cardi B is like amazing because of this. There's certain other people.
Right.
So people will do it, I have no doubt. It's going to be interesting to me to see who does it. You know, because I feel like it's still an energy, a little bit of an energy of like if you do music, you do it seriously. That's not the kind of thing you do.
Right, like it might taint your career. Yeah.
It might not. It might work for them.
Right. Who it works for, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but like. I it's going to be interesting.
You wouldn't be on it?
No.
I don't need to.
You imagine that. I don't, like, no, real life. I think I definitely heard a request and I was like, why?
Yeah.
I like, no, real question. I was like, for what? What do you guys want me to do?
That would be the chill one. She'd be like, I don't know.
I'm not throwing a thing.
Okay. I think you have a great personality I think that people would enjoy seeing that.
So I could
television.
Do my own show.
There
I could
you
write
go.
My
would
own
you?
Show.
Would you do reality TV if it was like based on your life, day to day, Estelle?
It would have to be quarterbacked by me, my people, my team, written by us. We'd have to have all the control there.
Right.
Because I couldn't. It's the weirdest thing. I've done some other TVs and tried to develop things, and even having somebody else write dialogue for your show. Like I had someone try and write a show for me, and I was like, "This is not the words I'd say."
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do it this way.
Right.
I had to take it back and rewrite it. And it was the hardest discussion, beef moment, because I was like, I don't even speak like that. I'm not saying these things. I'd never be in that scenario. That's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm that girl. I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going home. I'm not doing that. That's stupid. Reset that.
Yeah. You
know? That would be the fight all day. They'd be like, she's so difficult. All
right. Right. That's the worst.
Right. You know?
It's not happening. It's not bottom happening. Line.
Pretty much. So I couldn't. I don't know if it would be reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a film. It might be a TV show written by me in the Chris Rock, Everybody Hates Chris sense of the word.
Yes.
But because that would be...
another cartoon?
Another animation. That would be ill.
Can't wait to get into that.
You're
I'm developing
great on
all
Empire.
Of that too. So thank you.
Yep.
Yes.
Just trying. The second time I was on it, it was fun.
Yeah.
Wait, you were on Empire? How was that?
It's great. It's so fun.
Did you sing? Did you have like a musical scene?
So we had, the first time I was on it, was the first season we did Conqueror and I did it with Jesse.
Yes.
And the second time I did a song that we didn't write. There was nothing to do with me. And then I like, just was acting like Young Cookie, dancing around with a little wig.
It was great.
And I had pink eyeshadow and pink lips on. It was great. It was a good time. It's fun. It's just like, what am I
would be ready to see an Estelle show.
Yes. I definitely would.
That would be dope.
Especially because you put it from the perspective of Everybody Hates Chris.
Yes. Exactly
I think that would be super dope too.
So we'd get like an inside look at you growing up with your siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In London. Office. Okay, so I need to know. We had a show in Toronto last week, and it was really dope because we had a guest. Shout out to Marlon Palmer, who's known as that dude McFly.
Okay,
he's a dope YouTuber. He has a podcast called Extra Gravy. So we had him join us on stage, and he was talking to us about the Canadian, the Black Canadian experience, and he's also Jamaican.
Oh wow!
You know, so it was like all these angles, and it was so fun because they were teaching us slang.
Oh wow!
They were talking to us how they view us, especially with our government and just everything that's going on.
Right, Estelle.
Yeah.
So we mentioned London even at the show. I feel like it's just been coming up. So it's just so perfect you're here because I'm curious, like being that do you live in LA? Or, no,
I
you
live
here.
I live in LA.
Oh, you live in LA.
Yeah.
Okay, you go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
What is, like, how do you see the difference between the Black experience back in London and in here?
There is none. It's none. There really isn't at this point. The internets have made things so together.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same
That's
thing.
True.
It's different currency. We're not sure we're actually going to end up with currency-wise because of Brexit.
Oh.
Wow. The thing that annoys me about that scenario, though, is that it's like, I feel like America and the UK are just trying to one-up each other on
how terrible they are.
Destroying the countries.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just here like as people like, so you really going to kill us all? You're just going to let this... Y'all, can everyone stop?
Right.
Please. Can everyone get a plan? Just a plan. We just need a plan. We just need a plan that doesn't involve terrible things. And can we do that now? Because that's what your job is government.
I don't know if our country knows how to do that.
Okay.
No, you have to respect the process for that. And that, unfortunately, is absent.
That's true.
But it's interesting to hear you bring up the whole Brexit situation, right? What can you expound just a little bit on about what that was like to watch happen and how you felt about watching the shift in government?
Oh, goodness. It's an ongoing thing because it's been so long. It's been as long as the election for Trump. Mm-hmm. Taking place, it happened like shortly after, and it was like a branding exercise. To me, it was like an exercise in advertising and branding. Let's see if we can say a bunch of things and sway a particular emotion, and they did. And then they said, "Oh, oops, we got to really follow through with this."
Yikes!
We hadn't thought about whether that was actually going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems like the same thing's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just make it up as you go along. The thing, I just came back from London on Sunday, and the thing I kept hearing on radio is, so they keep trying to box off and not even give the opposition party, Jeremy, a really good way to respond. Jeremy Corbyn's out here, like, every time he gets on TV to kind of push forward the Democratic or the Labour Party's opinion, he spends so much time defending old statements that you never get to hear what they're talking about.
Mm.
And then the other thing with him is like, well, you know, like you said this and it's not really like that, is it? And he just sits there saying, I didn't say that. This is what I meant. And versus, what are your plans for Brexit? Right. What would you do if Brexit was happening, if you were able to control how Brexit went? They won't let him say that. They won't give him a shot at that. Mm-hmm. They just keep him on the fences or on the ropes. And it's just like, can anyone, who has the plan for Brexit?
Yeah,
which one of you? Which one of y'all has
insane.
The plan?
And I saw an article pop up on Twitter, it might have been this week, where people were saying they kind of like are trying to reverse it. Like they're freaking out now.
Yeah, they should be. All the people that voted for it. It's up to the deadline, and what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How is this going to actually happen? How do we actually leave the EU with our economy intact and not be plunged into the depths of nothing? As expensive as it is to live in the UK already. Like, how are we going to do this? And no one has a clue. So it's like six of one in the overall. Things are crazy right now to going home. And it's like, yeah, things are just as crazy.
Yeah, same thing here. Right. A bunch of motherfuckers don't know what they're doing.
No, right.
They doing. Same thing here.
Freestyling.
Still.
Freestyling. Right. Yep. And but you know what? I would say it's not always going to be this way. It's not always going to be this way. It's like, things have to move and things have to go. And this happened before for us with Margaret Thatcher.
Mm.
This happened before for us with another Tory prime minister. And then it got really, really good, you know? And it's kind of like the journey that
the ebbs and flow, yeah.
Exactly. It's going to go crazy. It's going to be good. I just want this part to hurry up.
Right.
Just hurry up. Just
same.
Right. Exactly.
Just get to what is good.
Same. Exactly. Support for today's episode also comes from Calm. Do you have trouble sleeping? Or maybe your coping tools aren't keeping you as relaxed as you could be? That's why we're excited to partner with Calm, the number one app for sleep, meditation, and relaxation. Calm gives you the tools you need to live a happier, healthier, and more mindful life. Just 5 minutes of Calm can change your entire day. No wonder it was named Apple's 2017 App of the Year. Wow, that's huge. Interested in trying? Go to calm.com/friendzone and get 25% off a Calm Premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of premium programs like guided meditations on anxiety, stress, focus, and relationships, with a brand new meditation each day called The Daily Calm, sleep stories, which are like bedtime stories for grown-ups, and so much more. For a limited time, the Friend Zone listeners can get 25% off a Calm Premium subscription at calm.com/friendzone. It includes unlimited access to all of Calm's amazing content. So get started today. calm.com/friendzone. That's calm.com/friendzone. So let's take it back to school. I want to know what you were like growing up. Who was Estelle? Who do y'all think Estelle was in high school? Right? Were you the girl that was always singing in theater in the hallway?
No. Quiet. Nobody knew I even did singing. I was in the background a lot.
Like quiet?
Quiet. And then when I did sing, it was like I would be the person telling my cousins and then what notes to sing. And like writing the songs with my cousin, just in the back. You know, like I'm organize everybody and then be like, cool, we good. Yeah. That was great.
So you like Quincy Jones of
Yes, I'm gonna take that. I was Quincy Jones in these school streets now. I was definitely just the quiet in the back one. I feel like I got forced into music by proxy of it was the one thing that was really going for me when I had literally nothing. But I was doing it. I was doing it in the background and I hadn't committed to doing it yet. I was kind of like, well, I need a job and I got to do this and I'm doing all the things. And I'm doing all the stuff. And I really want to sing. But like, I really got to keep this going. I was a journalist. I did video production. Everything around being a singer, but be a singer. Be
yeah,
an artist.
Journalist.
You know, a journalist.
What kind of stories did you cover?
Well, I did gigs. Well, no, so I would go out and I would interview artists and then take them to shows and then do reviews and things like that.
Oh, dope. Can we find any of those if we Google
maybe
them?
The website I worked for is now defunct. It was called darkerthanblue.com. Mm-hmm. And it lasted for about 3 years. I feel like I was the first person made redundant. But I used to write just to write. And like music was just always in the back of my brain, melodies and anywhere I could do. I used to sleep with a little boombox under my pillow because my mum would be like, turn that shit off at night. Yeah. She'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, under. That was I was introverted. I was in my head. I didn't, you know, I had to learn how to speak and how to speak up and how to practice and people telling me, I can't hear you.
How old were you when you decided finally, like, I'm an artist and I'm going to pursue this?
22.
Oh, wow. And what was it? What was the tide that turned that you were like,
I was sick of being made redundant from jobs I didn't care about.
Yeah. Real.
I cared about singing. And then after Darker Than Blue, I was like, I found myself in this space where it's all music. I can do it really well. I know all the stuff. Just try, you know? And I got made redundant one time and then I went and found another job. But that first time, and I got made redundant again. That first time it was like, the lady said to me, you're young enough, go for it. And I was like, I'm 21. I should have had a career by now. No, they're going to, she's like, you're young enough, go for it. And then I got let go. Same lady.
Right. She's like, all trust me, because you're not going to have a job.
Okay. You're going to be gone in T-minus 3 hours.
Okay, go so for you it go for and it. Collect your things on the way out.
That part. Clear your desk.
So how did you go for it? Like, what was first thing you did when you started taking yourself seriously as like a singer?
Well, I took my money and I bought a laptop. Mm-hmm. All my money. And I bought a laptop and I said, all right, Mom, I'm going to try this. I'm just going to be broke. But like, I'm going to need your help. She was like, you find you a part-time job, little girl. Like, I have 8 others. What is this? You know? But she was right. You know? And I always say to people, like, so during that period, and even when I was working at Darker Than Blue, I would do my gig. I wouldn't even go home. I would go from my work to my gig or to the party or whatever, find a way to perform, go home at like 2, 3 in the morning, sleep for 2, 3 hours, get back to work at 8, 9, go to my gig. And it was just circles for like 3 or 4 years straight. And I've been tired ever since.
Yeah,
I'm exhausted now.
Yeah,
but it trained me to be, you know, on point to be able to move. That was the first thing. I just got a laptop. I spent my money. I would record demos and ideas and just keep going and just keep going. Get beats from my friends. Find beats. Do beats that work over beats that were already there and just keep going. And I told I found a manager and I told him at the time, like, I know what we need to do. We have to find a distribution deal. Because Jay-Z and Puffy did this with Arista. And, you know, I had a picture of Jay that one of my friends took when he first came out here. And I just put it on the wall. And I was like, one day I'm going to be Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And everyone was just like, first of all, oh my goodness, that's a real picture of Jay-Z. It's like, yeah, my friend took it. He gave it to me. It's aspirational. Big words, big words. And then... And then by the time it came around, I realized that it was kind of like you put in the air what you want. You speak your life into existence.
Yes.
And I was out there. I had my own label. We would go around to the labels and they would be like, And then I said, cool, cool, cool. Found a distributor.
And it was called Stellarence.
Stellarence.
First, Stellarence.
Yeah.
And I was fine, you know, researching. I was like, that's a dope ass name.
Dope, right?
Stellarence. Because everyone used to call me Stella. So my mom used to call me Stella. So that was it. Exactly. Stella. It's a terrible accent you had, though.
And you met Kanye on the street.
Mm-hmm.
you saw him at a restaurant eating outside and you went up to him and told him that you needed to meet John Legend?
Yeah. Because he was good, but I like John's voice.
Yeah. Isn't that hilarious?
I was like, he's good, but like, this guy, do you hear what he does? This is amazing.
So you were a John Legend fan.
I was.
And you kind of had it in your head that that's who you wanted to work with.
I had a record and I said, I want his voice on it. I want him on this record. And I randomly was in LA recording other stuff. Listening to the songs, like, no, this guy's voice. And then went to Roscoe's and Kanye's sitting and then I'm like, oh
my God.
That is bug
out. And so what did you say, Estelle? Right. You just were like, hi, Kanye.
Dead ass. Hi. So I walk in and I do my order to go and he's sitting there with John. And then I said, oh God, that's okay. And I said to my own girl, all right, just order the food. I just need a minute. I go outside. I was like, please, God, if you are there,
crazy.
I need you to prove you're here. Okay. I need him to come out. I need to tell him I need to meet John. I just need to, like, before I even finish the prayer, he walking outside on his phone like, what the? Because there's no service in Roscoe.
Yes.
He walks outside on his phone. I was like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
The whole rotation. Yeah. I ran over there. And I was like, I like you. Hey, what's happening? You know my people. Anyway, listen. I like you. I have this record. I really want John on it. How can I meet him? Da, 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 da. And he's like, oh, what? You know John? And I'm like, yeah. I know his voice. He's really, really good. He's really, really good. And then he said, come to studio. I'm here like,
And it was like, okie doke, great.
What is this? But I said, all right, fuck it, go. I went. I wasn't in no vibes. I was like, I'm trying to go meet John, make sure he hears this record, exchange the information, and leave. And that's what I did.
Was it the same day or
same day.
What?
Yes.
Same day that night. But we knew then this was before John's first album came out.
Yes.
Before my first album came out. It was me working on demos for all of that. And so I think they were kind of like, this ballsy, who's this little what? Like, where did she come from, huh?
So how'd you know about John if this was even before his debut?
He had mixtape joints.
He did. He had a bunch of unreleased songs and mixtape songs.
I never heard of him.
I was on iTunes. Was a fan at that moment. Yeah.
Also.
I remember the original version of Live It Up. So like I saw the still we here.
You feel me?
Yeah.
I was just like, who is this? Where did this? What?
Yeah.
And it's I go on instinct and I go on feeling, and it's just like,
it was there.
Did you feel, you know?
Yeah.
It's like he's still one of my top 10 live performance vocalists when he does his music. When John does his good singing live.
Out of here.
Insane.
Wow.
I don't know where that came from. I do. But I just feel like it's just, he taps into something that's just, it's in everybody. You know, and that's why he's where he is and who he is, what he's doing.
It's so funny that you say that, right? That he taps into something and then he's just for everybody.
Because,
you know, it's no secret. Like, I love your music. Yeah. I think your talent is amazing. And I feel like you're one of those artists that can literally do it all. You can write, you can sing, you can rap, you can dance, you can do all that.
I can whine.
Right.
I ain't going to give you a one or two ever. I can whine.
You can hit you a little, you know, you can move through the crowd. So... But with those attributes, I think that it gives you a whole lot of flexibility as far as like the type of music that you make.
Yeah.
You've made EDM records, you've made hip hop, you've done whatever. Is it difficult for you at times to like kind of peg down the focus of your projects because you have so many different directions you could go?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There are so many albums that are unreleased.
Yeah.
So many whole
albums.
You got
some good unreleased shit still. Like some good.
I hope when they do get released, they are people still feel like they're good. But like, yeah, it's hard because you catch your vibe when you catch your vibe. And then I like to go on my vibe. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to sing what comes out. It might be off key and I might have to go rehear it. But I'm going to catch it and then see what it becomes.
Yeah.
My manager always says, like, the thing about managing me is that I have these chambers. And he had described it accurately. I wasn't thinking of it like this. He's like, she has chambers. You just have to make sure she finishes the chamber before she goes to the next one.
Yeah.
Like, I started this reggae album 6 years ago. I ain't finished it. And then I kind of went over to soul. And then I did an R&B album. Then went back to the soul record.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm back, finished the reggae album. And the reggae's up.
Sign of a true artist.
Yeah, just what it's going to be, what it's going to be when it comes out your face and you have to hope for the best.
But tell us when you went to the studio that day, what happened? Like, was John just sitting there and you're like, hey, let's make a song?
Well, quite literally, he's sitting down and he's like, so finish this hook. And I didn't know this, I hadn't seen him, I just heard his voice. He doesn't sing like he talks. So I'm here, me and him having this whole bonding moment over Apple Macs. I had just gotten my Apple Mac, guys.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I got the same one. And I'm proud of myself. We can talk about Macs. So foolish. It's the one that, like,
was it the white one?
Yes.
The white CDs on
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Baby shorts. And I was like, oh, you can burn CDs. Here's a CD I happen to have with me. I want to play my record, guys.
Yes. Mm.
And then, like, and then he goes in to sing something, and they just have me waiting. My impatient behind is like, bruh, just gonna have a bitch sitting up here. So I'm sitting in the studio and they're singing something, and either the engineer had the vocal real low, but they couldn't figure I was missing. And I was like, it's this note. And John was like, who? What did you say? And I was like, it's this note. Proud and happy and shit. But it's like John and Ye. Ye's Kanye dropout, college dropout, Ye. You can't, what are you, who are you telling? You come in a session telling people stuff. Who are you, little girl?
Okay.
And I was just like, it's this note.
Calling shots.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's my life. I don't know
and
how
they
to.
They couldn't fuck with it because you were right.
I was right.
Yes.
Woo. And then the guy was like, yeah, we missed it. I had it loud low. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, an entrance. Right. You hear
yes.
me?
Yes.
Unforgettable.
Okay.
Straight like that. And then after that, it was kind of like, okay, so she knows what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, cool, cool, cool. Well, hear this record. If you like it, I would love for you to get on it. If you don't, that's cool too. I'm going to just sing it how I hear it in your voice in my head, and then it's going to be good. And he
was
like,
what was the record?
It ended up being Hey Girl on my very first album, the 18th Day. And so he did it. And then we ended up, it just kept snowballing from there. He would come to London, I would open up for him. He would do shows, he'd have me come out and jump on it and guest spot. Because I was already doing my thing out there.
Yeah.
Right before I came here. For the longest, like it's like really established and doing it. And it was just like, but I still felt like there was more and there was something else to hit, you know. And I go on instinct when it starts to pull and things start to move a certain way and it's not going quite right and I'm out of alignment kind of thing. Like I move back, I have to move back. I don't know how it's going to get there. And sometimes it's everything falls down, but I have to move back, you know. So like I went on my instinct. I was like, thank you. Let's do the record. And then he was like, after that, he was just, I think he said he was more impressed with the fact that whether I was going to be around him or Ye or anybody else, I was going to get it done. I was going to get this. I was going to have this career. And he said he wanted to be along for the ride. He said, I was just trying to catch a percentage. That's all.
I mean, wow.
He said, no, I'm with it. I'll endorse whatever you need because you're going to be who you're going to be. It's like, appreciate it. Come on.
So that means whenever, you know, you do your cartoon and if, you know, there's some singing in there, that there can be like, you know, another like a John Legend and still track, you know, for the cartoon.
We're trying to push. It'd be an interesting scenario to do a whole cartoon with him. He has an interesting voice, speaking voice as well as, you know, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to do. You know?
Or, you know, like, not to put it too close to the Steven Universe route, but what if his character didn't even talk? It just made noises.
You know.
And then he could just sing.
That would be ill, though.
Like, wouldn't it be crazy? He just make noises, and then all of a sudden they sing, and it's like, damn, you don't even talk.
I'm going to tell Rebecca that, and I'll give you the credits. I'm so serious.
Like, the
W. Look, we're going to come back to the cartoon.
Okay, because we have to have a whole.
Yeah, you know, we got to do the whole music thing, but we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
So how did you get to American Boy?
Oh, God. I was in Miami.
And he was short, the guy you're describing in that song.
Well, I'm just gonna put that out there that John was doing the melodies and he was like 5'7" and he did that. And I was like 5'7", cool bet. Not thinking that's kind of short.
Short,
oh,
girl.
It's kind of short. I know. It's a fun joke now. I'd be like, I know it's short.
Now dudes walk up to you and they'd be like, hey, you know how tall I am.
Right.
And you'd be like, I guess five, seven.
Still had noses walking up to women everywhere. You know, short niggas walk up to you with their nose up. I still had noses approaching all around the world. 5'7".
Someone tweeted me. They were like, yo, I just want you to know what still was out here for us. People died for that 5'7".
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to thank her.
It's iconic still.
You made them feel seen.
This is seen.
Who else singing about a 5'7" man?
Let me Woo. Stop. Short man. Wow.
Height shaming. We love you guys.
Right.
No, we love them. They come in all shapes and sizes.
All altitudes.
They're crazy.
But that song was huge.
Man.
I mean, huge. I remember the video.
So dope. The styling.
Thank you, man.
It was a knockout.
Back when I worked at Old Navy, they played that on the record over and over.
Oh my God, that is such a record. Yes. Oh, I know they were going crazy playing that.
Yes.
Crazy. It made me want to go to London and be a man whore.
You could have did it.
Because I felt like it. I was like, wait a minute, so this means... You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to lie. Every time I go to London, I'm like, I'm trying to be someone's American boy. Like, I always say it every time.
Oh, yo, the level of happiness that makes me feel right now.
Just letting you know.
Because we do it. This is like, I pray with intention behind every record.
Whoa.
It must, I'm like, I want records that change lives, that move lifestyles, that stay with people forever. I want to be one of those artists, right? And I feel like... We kept our practice going, you know, like,
yep.
That record is forever.
Yeah. Yes,
those melodies for real. I was literally just sitting here in my thoughts, you know, mm-hmm. had a little fun before the show. Okay. Yeah, I was sitting here in my thoughts, and I was like, damn, those melodies, like the way you say, I like to see LA.
Yeah,
that's iconic, and it's the kind of singing that can be covered in different styles. Yes. Like,
oh, and it is.
Oh, still,
and ooh, it's the check's
gonna be coming for a while, girl. Oh,
yes. Yeah. It's a timeless record too, because it sounds like it could be dropped now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And would still totally fit in with the scene.
It freaks me out. It's 10 years old.
It's 10 years old.
Yeah, 2008. And it's crazy because it like that time flew. And then also, but the people, when people sing it, when I sing it, the reaction is like, this was yesterday.
Yeah.
This
is,
it feels like it.
What? Like, all right, y'all sing it.
Never gets old. And wait till the American Girl Doll Company gets at you for that partnership.
No, oh, please,
start making boy dolls. Wait till that partnership.
Yo, that's so genius.
Okay. Yes, be that in there.
Just oh, wait.
Jesus, I'll take it.
How did it feel when the song started catching fire? Like, I always wonder, you know, that phone starts ringing crazy. All of a sudden, everybody wants you to be on a song. And it's like, you made it. You're a star. You're on. You guys charted, like.
Everywhere.
How did that feel?
I was working so hard, I didn't feel it.
I feel you.
I was working.
There was no time.
No time. I was just moving. I think it registered this year, notably, and then it registered about a year after the Grammys, when it was just like, literally everywhere you go, that's the song that everyone knows you for. And it's like, they know the other songs. They know Thank You. They know Congress. Mm-hmm. It's nice. But like,
but that's like, the one.
But this record, it made people feel such a way. And I'm just like, that's what I wanted. But hey, guys, I have other records. You know, and not to all take away from those records. They did their thing and they still do their thing. I have a catalog and I can perform them all and it's great. But the reaction to that makes me so happy. Like, I'm never...
It's such a good record. It's just... It's sorry to be hippy-dippy, high vibrational. You know, like, yes. You play it. Uh-huh. You know how you have your playlist that you know when you need that pick-me-up?
Mm-hmm.
You have those songs that'll kind of do that for you. That's definitely one of those vibes.
Absolutely.
But, it's not hippy-dippy. It's just something to it.
Right.
I smiled the entire way through the record.
Like, it sounded like it at the end, too.
Yeah. I was having fun.
That is so dope.
It's like, this is hilarious. And I kept saying, man, look, this makes me happy. If this don't go nowhere, I'm going to be in Ibiza. And I'll be singing this, and I'll be good. Because I know this is going to be good.
Okay.
Cut to, we're in the middle of Capri, and this little old man band, New American Boy, and kept playing it.
Wow.
I was sweaty and drunk, like, I'm not singing this again. You guys will not have, I'm not doing this, guys.
I then came all the way to Capri.
Bruh.
In my capris.
In my short shorts, thinking it was going to be warm and it was cold.
Oh, damn.
It was crazy. It's Christmas. It's time.
Your new project is reggae.
Yeah.
It's a soul island vibe. What made you give us this vibe?
It was long time coming. Everyone had been asking me for a whole reggae album since Come Over. And I was just like, bruh, can I live? Like, can I like get my little youngness off real quick? But like, it's always been in every single record I've done. Half of Shine was reggae dancehall based.
Mm.
Substitute Lover, mm-hmm. Push Them Out of the Way, Magnificent. There's some, even down to like the way I would mix the records. I was like, nah, make this all real bass heavy. I want the drums to hit. No, that don't sound like Dennis Brown. Know that, turn that up.
I love those references. Know your music.
Yeah, no, those are my references. I'd be like being there with the engineers and producers. I had Gary Noble, who's my favorite engineer and mixer, mix the records in a specific way because he gets the references. I'm saying to him, I want this to sound like
And so every single album has reggae on it, reggae influence, mixed like a reggae record, blah, blah, blah. We get down to work on this after True Romance happens. I mean, yeah, the last album, True Romance, we're like, this is going to record music because I was in a personal, like, flux. Things were just, like, everywhere. Nothing bad, just, like, I wasn't happy and I didn't quite know what to do to get there again, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going through all my stuff. And I was like, let me just go and see what I can come up with. And all the records that sounded good that I kept coming up with were reggae. So my team were just like, my lawyer was like, we all get on the phone. And I'm just like, look, I need to do a record. I need to put music out. It's been too long. What are we going to do? My lawyer was like, why don't you just make a reggae album? You know you kill it and you know you sound good on these joints you've been sending us. I was just like, you know what? Like, yeah.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Man, right.
The presentation of the idea,
yep.
and the way it's going to happen.
And yep. Your dad's from the Caribbean, right?
My dad's from Grenada, Trinidad.
Hey.
So we're Greens and we're Trini. And then my mom's from Senegal, Sierra Leone, that West African arc, I want to say. The back of the head. It is. It's like shape of a head's the back of the head. That's where we're from. So like to them, they were just like, oh, yes. It's glorious.
Right.
Lost.
Back to the roots.
You know? And the more I did it, the easier it felt, the happiness. There's a lot behind it. It's their story, my mom and dad's love story.
Wow.
So, but it came
and
from.
And they know that, right?
They know it. They happy.
They get it. Yeah.
So hype. I love my mom and dad. They're the funniest. Their whole story. I'm just rambling.
No, we want to know.
Right, we want it.
So they met, and my mom was kind of over it. And she was babysitting my auntie for a period of time, like just for her date.
Shout out to you for saying auntie. That made me feel so good.
Yeah. Yes. She's babysitting my auntie. And my auntie was like, oh, my dude's coming. He's bringing his brother. My mom was like, whatever. She wasn't in it. She didn't care. She said when he walked in the room, she was like, God, yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of like that. Psh,
come on, mom.
Right. Well, I was born 9 months later. I was like, wow. Yeah, disgusting.
I hear that.
When you know, you know.
That's
okay.
The exact point. When you know, you know. They got it together. And then they had two other sisters. My two other sisters. Now, 3 years into it, they break up. Well, they kind of get forced apart.
Mm-hmm.
My dad wasn't doing the things that my grandma thought he should have been doing for my mom.
Mm.
He's West Indian to boot. We're African.
Enough said.
The cultural.
Right, it's a lot of rules and demands in that household.
My Lord.
Yeah, a lot of expectations.
So many. So many. And then my mom had my brother, my older brother.
Mm-hmm.
She had very young. And then she had three other baby girls. And my grandma was like, nah, you're not, you're 19. You're like just about 23. What are you doing? You're between 19 and 20. What are you doing? Nah, I have to take control of your life. And I don't know that was the right action, but mm-hmm. she did the best she could.
Mm.
And then it just got real mean and spiteful and jealous and crazy in their separation with everybody else. They wanted to be together. Everybody else was hell-bent on that, making sure that they weren't.
No way.
On both parts of the side.
And they didn't get back together later?
Till I was 23. They found each other again. My little sister ends up G in a meetup. And they got back together. I was 23. They broke when I was 3. Got back together when I was 23. Got married when I was 33.
Well, oh, wow. Like, what love?
Wow.
No sense.
It's like Asante's parents, too.
Yeah, my mom and dad just got married like a few years ago. Oh. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it good to be there?
Yeah, it was amazing to see them together finally, to know like how long the chapters were, too. Right. So when you said that, like the depths, I'm thinking like, damn, there were so many like long periods of time they missed each other.
And that's the part. You see love from a different perspective as an adult when mm-hmm. that kind of thing happens. Because I start putting myself in her shoes and thinking, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. 23. My whole family, she was the youngest girl. My whole family's telling me what to do left, right, and center. I have no real sense of who I am and what I want to be. Everything I wanted to do was kind of beaten out of me or told I wasn't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
My granddad wasn't the nicest. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
And she still managed to raise 9 of us without losing her mind. She's
9,
cute.
Yo.
Talented.
You know? Man.
And you know what else? Shout out to your parents, because 20 years later, guess who gets to go to the family reunion and roll their eyes at everybody? You know what I'm saying?
All day.
Guess who gets to go to the funerals and be like, hey, how y'all, it's us.
And they look fine. And they look so cute. And they're so good looking
together.
I
love it.
And Estelle's their daughter.
Estelle is their daughter. You see what happens when people try to hold you back?
Man, I have no judgment on people. People be like, oh, look at her. She's still young with all these kids, these Pitney, these whatever. I'm like, listen, people said that about my mom.
Things happen, yeah.
I am here.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
You never know. God has a plan. Mind your business. Mind your mouth. Mind your business.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. How has their story affected your own? Because I'm curious. You know, there's always
she said, hold up.
How has it affected your own life path with partners?
Ongoing fixing. Oh, Jesus. All right. No, it's been hard. I've made some crazy decisions. I've made some very terrible.
I, too.
You understand? We're in the same. So, and this is why I say, like, you guys blessed my life in a way. I was like, I feel the same way. Yes, fair what she said.
Yes.
I realized I was doing a series of repeats. My mom had to do these things, and she was thrust into this moment based off of her looking at her example.
Right.
Only she raised us to have this wonderful life. And now I had this great, wonderful life. American boy happened. Thank you happened. That was a breakup. Conqueror happened. I'm not crazy. But I still couldn't get it. And I realized I wasn't living the lifestyle that I was out here acting like I had to do. I don't have six kids. I wasn't living in the hood. I have more than enough money. My closet was glorious.
Come on.
No one was telling me what to do. And yet I was acting like these things. And put myself in scenarios where these things happened on purpose. Because I don't know no different, right? And the minute I realized it, the minute I started to realize it in therapy and talk space, and I was like, I'm doing the exact opposite every time. And it was just like, okay, the patterns stop now.
Amen.
The patterns and the repeats, I'm done. Because it made me feel so bad. Like, I was like, it's almost like a punch in the face to God. God said to my mom, I'm going to give your daughter more than you have. I'm going to bless her, you know. And what did I do with it? You know,
right.
Take it and just kind of kick it back by just doing everything wrong, you know, on purpose, per se. And some of the times I knew, and I just didn't know what else to do.
Right.
Just continue doing it. It was the hardest thing to, like, face that part. Like, oh, girl, this was your fault. You chose that motherfucker. You chose that.
Right.
You
but
chose
acknowledging it is so major.
That's the portal to the clear understanding. So, and it's not easy to do at all.
Oh my goodness! But then I'm writing an album. So I had to. It was it wasn't such a hard push, but it was like you sang that song before. Why did you just go through that four times? What are you doing?
That's the thing about your songs too. They're like a journal of your paths. So you're like, am I really about to go through this again?
Damn.
For album three.
Okay.
And I was like, I can't do this no more. I can't do this no more. I can't do this anymore. This is ridiculous. You are 37, 36. You know, it's been
Shout out to us.
You know, we grown. We look cute. We young. We grown up. We're an adult. What are you doing? Everything else was going great, just that part. So I had to fix it. I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not repeating. I'm not going through the same things. And that was a period as I was finishing out the album, I was working out the album, and I had to just make some real life changes, you know? And it's hard because it's almost like I feel like I'm doing it a little bit late. I feel a little immature saying to a guy, well, I'm just me. Take it or leave it. Mm. You know, I feel like I should have said that 10 years ago because I'd have been further along in the process.
We're right on time.
Okay. Right. All right.
And but, plus, the mess was fun. So, you know.
To a degree.
It was fun a little bit. I knew you was in a different state of mind, though, because of the way your hair had swooped over to the right side.
Thank you.
I'm telling you.
When women had that little curve thing right there, that's how, just leave her alone.
I said my
you
curve.
You ain't ready, dog. Just chill. You know
she
what I'm saying?
Where it lays like, right now.
Yeah.
No, it's like real life. Here I go. I'm going to just sit here and just like toss my hair. Just whip it a little bit.
But one thing I'll say about Estelle is that you've never seen her in mess.
Never.
Never.
We never hear stories in all the years you've been famous. I don't think I've ever read anything wild about you. How have you stayed so grounded in an industry that seems to just like ravage its artists?
A lot of artists give in to the idea that you have to be in the mess to be famous.
Mm.
If people can't peg you for this or sell a story, we'll talk about this. I was like, yo, it's so annoying that
I have to give you something to go on negative in order for you to care about my music. Right. I can say all the positive things in any interview, and what you're going to take as clickbait is the negative connotation. Oh, I laughed when I said this. You laughed too.
Right.
What the hell? This video footage. Now it's right. Estelle Slams or Estelle Laughs At. And I'm like, it was funny. We all laughed. I'm not even defending that. It, yeah, sure.
But that's the new album rollout. Is like start the sensationalism. Mess.
I'm not with it. No. I mean, they're going to do it anyway. But personally, I don't have any real beef with anybody. I try to keep it 100 with people when I see them.
So you've never thrown a shoe at anyone?
No. I wanted to. I lost one shoe on the road. It was a perfect Louboutin with peep toe. And I don't like my feet. So like when you find a real good Louboutin.
You're like, I ain't throwing these.
Don't. And then my assistant had lost one of the shoes and just kept the other one. And I just wanted to ask her, why didn't you just throw away the
right.
Why didn't you just lose them both?
Like, right. That's shoe.
Did she think you
was
going to
get
But
she lost the one. What am I going to do with
right.
the one?
So I'm like,
I kept the one though for some time.
Because you didn't want to let go.
I had to let go.
But how are you so grounded? Like, especially like, you know, the high levels of anxiety being so visible when you put out a project, you know, the scrutiny that comes along with people who love it, people who hate it. Like, and then you also, you have a show, like, it's, you know, so it's like you are out here. So how do you, what do you do? What does Estelle do to not lose her shit?
Sleep shit. sleep. The cartoon stuff, somebody had put it into, I'm a person that's like, I could go through some, I'm not sure I'm just going to barrel through it. I know it's weird. I know it's strange. I'm just going to barrel through it. Somebody gave me words to it. They were like, one of the guys that does our conventions was like, you're like an introverted extrovert. You're like, you absorb it all, you know, like, or and I think the word he used was like, you're some, like a version of an empath where you can go out and be amongst the people and do your thing. And then you need like, all right, bye, guys.
Mm-hmm. Right, you got to go recharge.
Sit down and nothing.
Yes,
yeah.
And I go and sit down and nothing. And I gave into it. I was like, this is what I need to do. Everyone leave me alone for 3 days. Bye.
Literally me.
It feels so much better when you come back out, when you reemerge.
My house is my sanctuary. My quiet time is my quiet time.
Mine too. I don't let nobody in but Uber Eats.
Yeah. Right.
So you don't call paparazzi to like.
Why? What?
Oh my God.
Girl, no.
To catch you outside of the Grove.
Okay. I'd be nice to them. When they do catch me, I'm nice to them and that throws them off.
Right.
That throws them all the way off. Like if you're nice to somebody who's like, hey, let me route you and get that weird picture. All right, hold up.
Yeah, for still.
You good? We got it. Thank you. All right. I'll see you soon. Like, I'm nice to them. And either it's going to work one way. They're going to get all the bad intentions ain't going to catch you. Or they're going to post the good pictures. So you win either way.
Right.
I don't call them, though. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's hella weird. Like, I don't. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is enough. Don't follow me around.
I don't even like Facebook.
I don't know what that means. Right.
Right.
I don't know what these things mean. I get it. I understand it. I embrace it. I know what they're for. I don't need them. I think it's because I was doing this before the advent of
social media being so heavy. That's true.
So I'm used to my Mariah mysticism.
Yeah,
you know, like my quiet time.
I kind of
like,
missed those days a little bit.
Right.
We didn't know what an artist was doing all day.
It piqued my interest.
Yes.
I talk about that shit all the time. Thank you, Estelle. Thank you. Thank you, Estelle, for being an artist that just focuses on the fucking music. Like we like you because of your work. And, of course, because of your work, we've been exposed to your great personality. But, like, that's why we like you, and you focus on the work.
Thank you, man.
Speaking of the work, the artwork for Lovers Rock, man.
Thank you.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, my God, I got the throwback vibes. Mm-hmm. And then, like, just it was just gorgeous. Can we talk about the inspiration, the creative direction with that?
So I go in every time we do an album and I start looking at what I want it to feel like.
Because
it's like one thing, you know what it's, you know what it feels like, but what I want people to get from it. And I said, I want this to feel like all the old records when I was younger.
Yes.
I wanted to feel like all the old school vintage joints. So I was just like, this is my youth. And I wanted the cover to look red, gold, and green, but not red, gold, and green.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, I want this to be an adult red, golden, green. So it's going to be burgundy, olive, and mustard. Okay? Nice. These are the colors we're going with, guys. Dark green, dark red, a dark yellow. This is it. And that's literally it. I kept it as that aesthetic the same. But the looks and the vibe, I said, I want it to feel like sunlight.
Yes.
You know, I wanted it, when you look at it, you feel like, oh. You know? And so the dress was real. It was in my brain. I was like, I want to wear some golden black. Golden black's been my aesthetic for a long time.
Yes. It has.
Yeah, after I kind of sat purple down for a while, because that was my favorite color.
Ain't purple lovely?
It's purple so good.
Royal and regal.
You know?
Yes.
I would also like the record to reflect that black and gold make black people feel good about themselves.
Amen. Oh, absolutely.
Proms, weddings. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Open house. When it's time to decorate a room, black and gold.
Yes.
Black people, you got black and gold, you're doing, you know.
So yes.
I understand.
Your cover definitely looked like a classy version of the reggae gold. Like,
yeah,
like you remember back in the day, the reggae gold, or the reggae collections, and there was always the person on the cover. Shit, it was just you on the cover, your own reggae gold collection.
And it's all like, it's all in the back of your brain, you know, like, it's a creative, you pull your references and it's just here, and then when it's the right one, it just comes forward. And it was like, I was like, no, we're gonna make this look like that. Oh, and then my dad was in a group, and him and his brothers wrote and sang records, Love Is Rock, back in the day. He plays all the instruments, it's crazy. And like, my mom was like, this looks like your dad's album sleeve. And I was like, what? She sends me a picture, and it really is the same colors.
That's,
but I never knew.
Bugged out.
I never knew. I was like, holy crap.
It made me want to listen to the music. When I saw the artwork, I was like, I'm about to get Estelle's album. Like, as soon as I saw that, though, it was so effective. It made me really want to know more about the music. Thank you. I don't know, I just got like soulful reggae vibes. And you know, the intersection of those two.
Favorite.
You can't miss.
That's the name of that's what the genre is.
Mm-hmm.
Soulful reggae. Love Is Rock is literally R&B and reggae.
Yeah.
And you just sing them together.
Yes.
What a beautiful child they had.
Okay.
I'll take that.
And how have been your live shows? I was like, now you're doing soulful reggae. What's the vibe on stage?
It's gonna be nothing different than what I've been doing already. Like, people know me, I'm out here remixing my jokes. I'm like Lauren on the low with that. Like, so we're gonna do American Boy, we're gonna do this mega mix. Okay.
You're not gonna bring nobody on stage, wine slow and nothing.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a whole fit. It's going to be a whole fit.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. I did a song called Ain't Your Bitch.
Yes.
Right,
and because I needed a turn up.
Yes.
Now I do these songs. The sound of these songs are for me.
Yes.
How I perform them and what I want to do. Because I need to have vibes. I need to have fun. And his albums that I've done, or True Romance, I feel like is the slowest, middest.
Mm-hmm.
All of me was the slow mid. So I never really got to sing. I had to stand up there and do ballads. I was like, I just want to dance, guys. I just want to have fun while I'm here. This is crazy. I don't want to stand still no more. This is nuts. So for this, I was like, no, we turn it up. All the interpolations, all of the vibes, all of the hype.
That beat is crazy.
Thank you, man. I produced that damn near.
Crazy.
Whoa. Produced too?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
You have to at this point. Girl, yes. Absolutely.
That's so popping. So you could go in the studio and knock a whole record out from top to bottom on your own.
Uh-huh. With an engineer.
Talk about goals.
And I don't like... But I'll give in to people who... I did it with somebody. You know, that record wasn't purely me, but I can. And I'll give it to writers and producers and people who just come in to collaborate.
Absolutely.
That's why I work best. I hate when it's the producer. I've had sessions where I've walked in and the producer's like, they don't even give you a second to breathe or feel the record. And we were laughing about this the other day again. Like, I came into a session and I started to sing, and then the producer walks in like an hour late and starts trying to tell me how to sing.
You're
like, I had just stopped. And I was like, okay, this is, and then we walk out.
Imagine just dead,
like, yeah, this is not, we're not gonna take this record.
<That's>
I was like, I'm gonna finish the session because I'm not rude, but I'm good.
That's so nuts that even at this level, you would still have to deal with engineers
that's
doing stuff like that.
That's why I sing Ain't Your Bitch. That's why Queen exists.
Inspo.
Copy.
Because you have to let people know how to treat you. And there's not a lot of records. There's so many records called Queen. So many records called Respect My Worth. And we don't have the right words to say to people. And so I wanted to do, those were my records for those. Like, here's a little story and I'm going to say it nicely. I'm not your bitch though.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
Queen was inspired by when I walk in these rooms and I have my own label. the idea of the audacity of her. Who does she think she is? You know, from people that I was cool with and people that ain't know a thing about me, just started in the business. Well, she ain't. Who does she think she, well, she's supposed to be? And I was like, well, first of all, I don't know who she is.
Let's talk about it.
Second of all, if you do your Googles, you understand. This is what the hell I came here to do on this planet. So Amen. I'm about to go do it. I don't know how to stand back. I know how to stand beside. I came here with a healthy sense of self. I've been through my trials. I don't have a single explanation. Handle it or don't. I'm good. I'm going to be the queen that I am. Like, this, you know, rock out.
You're not an artist that needs that type of help. Those right. artists yeah. exist,
yeah,
and that's cool for like to grow. Yeah, like they said on Martin, nye, nye, nye around the house. But you're not that type of artist, no. Like, you know what I mean. You are an artist who I would think, you know what I mean, I would be excited to collab,
right,
as opposed to try to tell you what the fuck to do, right. Like,
exactly.
So, you know,
what's your process for creating a song? Like, sheesh. Do you have to sit with the beat? This is my favorite question for artists. Do you sit with the beat and let it come to you? Or do you have 1,000 voice notes and then you just kind of be like, I'm going to hit with this one today and build it?
Mm-hmm. Bit both. I'm afforded the energy. I'm afforded the lifestyle that sometimes I could just go sit down and nothing and just be in my brain, right?
Mm.
And that's when all the thoughts come out. Or when I'm riding in cars and I just have to get from A to B and there's literally nothing else I have to do. That's when I get a chance to sit and write songs, right? Or sit and write, come up with a couple notes or a couple words. And it might sometimes be a voice note, and it might just be 2 words. I'm not a poet. I just write the things that come to my brain, and I feel like that's God talking to you, like just whispering in your ear. So, like, for Queen, I was like, she's a queen. She used to wearing crowns. She's gone to lead, cannot back down. And that was with the 4 words that just kept, that 4 sentences that kept
coming back to you.
Yeah, so I wrote it down. I was like, it's going to land somewhere. And then 2 weeks later, I had a session with Chronics. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have this song idea. And then my manager had played this record from producer. And we couldn't find the right drum pattern. But just the keys made it feel like opulence and royalty and stars and diamonds and pearls. And I was like, this is the record for Queen. This is what this is. And I wanted to write it in such a way that if any young girl heard it, and they didn't know how to describe themselves. They didn't know how to tell someone who they were. They had these words. I'm a queen. I'm used to wearing crowns. I'm going to lead. I'm not going to back down. You can respect it or not, but if you're a king, I know you feel me. Come on. You know, like, that's the intent. And I wanted to give those clear words. Not dance around it. Not over confuse the lyrics. You know what I mean? Because I know that there's a lot of songs and there's a lot of intentions, but sometimes clarity. Sometimes.
Yeah, being so heavy-handed with the message.
It really doesn't help.
Just like, oh, God. Like, I know what you're getting at, but I don't, it's too many words.
You know? Do you have any producers that you haven't worked with yet that you kind of have them, like, on your bucket list? Or have you kind of worked with them all already? Because you've worked with...
I mean,
you worked with Swiss Beats? Yeah, like,
first album.
Who haven't you worked with?
It was just hard. You know David Foster, someone I haven't worked with?
Oh, wow, yes.
I could see, like, a mean ballad. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that would be, I'd need to, like, do that in my, like, I'm 55 and I feel like going on tour. Come on, let's get this cracking.
Your Barbara Streisand
you know,
moment.
My Anita Baker, my...
Yes.
Estelle and David Foster. Moment. Ooh, you know? On tour.
Listen.
Let me just say this.
Estelle, I can see you on that piano now.
I was down.
With a beautiful gown.
And let me just say this.
I can't sing like this, but I'm going to try.
You know, I'm a watcher of Housewives. Mm-hmm. So he used to be on Beverly Hills when he was with Yolanda.
Right.
So if you ever go to one of his parties and sing at one of his parties, just think of me. Just have one moment for me.
I got you. Yes. I got you. I'll film it and I will send it back. Yeah. I'll tell you, this is my Sante.
Speaking of, like, collabs, though, one thing I loved about Lovers Rock, so me, when I listen to music, I don't like to look at the track list, especially when I'm listening to, like, R&B records or anything that's not rap. Yeah. I like to just kind of listen because sometimes you can't even really recognize the voices. You can just appreciate the songs for what they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what I loved about this record is that artists like Chronics or even like the song with Luke James, So Easy, it sounds like you guys were literally like playing together on the track and like you were having a good time collabing with all these artists. What was it like working with Luke James? Because I really thought the pairing of your voices was so like interesting butter. And perfect.
Luke is my little baby. Like, it's my little brother, it's my little baby.
Shout out to Luke James. Oh,
that man's right? voice. Mm-hmm. Yes. I was like, I have to keep remembering he's a grown man. Like, you know, he's a whole, like, adult. He's like my little, he's my, I just want so good for him.
Right.
He's going to be so amazing. Mm-hmm. And he's amazing now. Mm-hmm. But just for the music side, I'm just like, boy, you don't, I get the same feeling about him as I had when I first heard John. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, in that voice is something else. And we wrote that right before we went on a tour together in like 2012.
Wow.
And then we went on the road. And then I moved to LA.
So that song's been around since 2012.
Sitting in Jerry Wonder's studio.
Wow.
And you know, so, I always think about that with music in general. Yeah. How many gems we'll never hear.
Mm-hmm. I think about that too.
It hurts my heart sometimes.
It'll come out at the right time though.
Right, hopefully. Oh.
But this one's one of the ones. We just knew it was special. I just didn't know what to do. This is the chamber thing with me where mm-hmm. I have to finish. Because if mm-hmm. if the way I work, it would be one record. It's really, really good. Sitting over there in that place.
No.
So, until it has a home.
Until it has a home.
Yeah.
And luckily we found one for it. Well, in the grand scheme, it was all going to happen. But yeah, it was just good. He came in. It was like we were all just hanging out, like all of us, all mutual friends. And he was like, I'm a fan. I was like, no, I'm a fan of you. You're full of shit. You know. And then we all just got really cool. And so I was like to him one time, just come up to Jerry, let's just write. And he did. And there we go, so easy. It's easy with Luke. Mm. It's easy with Luke. It's not a, hey, but can you sing it like this? Or like a, your references are all the way off point, bro. Like, it's none of that. It's just, he knows it.
Yeah.
He didn't grow up in London. He didn't grow up with any of my references. Mm-hmm. But he's open. He's a whole artist, and he likes to learn. And he didn't do. I didn't have to teach him much. I didn't have to say much to him. I was just like, "You, yeah, this is, sounds great. you want to go eat?"
Like, it was literally so easy.
Yeah.
Were all of your collaborations like that? Because everyone was like, they sound easy. Like how you're saying, like, I don't want to be corny, but like mm-hmm. listening to you and Luke James was perfect. Yeah. Malik Berry, that was a bomb track. Yeah. Hood Celebrity.
I
know friend loves Malik Berry.
I am a massive. I don't think he's missed yet. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. He can't miss.
He hasn't. Not once. It's whew. Unrealistic. It's, no, it's good. It's great. It's what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Not unrealistic. It's perfect. He's what, this is who he is.
He is a killer. I love him.
Crazy. That boy crazy.
Yes.
That boy good.
Ooh, are we going to get some Afrobeat albums?
We have, well, it might not be a whole album.
Just put me in a video. I've been practicing.
All right, I'm going to call everybody who said they want to be in a video for me up. Like, so yeah. Look.
We ready.
This is a date.
Listen, I've been on, you know, the Instagram girls be breaking it down. I've been practicing.
Look, and I was just about to say, yes, teacher. When I show up to set, I want to learn some moves. I want to learn with the kids, do a little step or something. Yes.
The reverse shaku shaku.
Oh,
like,
I can't do it.
I'm ready.
I could barely shaku shaku real life. I'm not African right now. No, but like that, the joy of my life right now, sorry, whole other subject, is swiping open my phone and looking at the kids out here giving all the business in the dances.
Yo,
where
oh
do they
God.
Go?
Tearing it up.
On Instagram, it's a rabbit hole of Afrobeat dances mm-hmm. and the choreography. There's nothing else that brings me as much joy. My explore page, if you were to look at my Instagram, is just dance profile.
Just because it's like, this was when we were younger. It was like you hid and you did that in family functions.
Right.
You didn't do that on the internet. You didn't dance to African music like that. You weren't out there like super proud that you was out here African. Like, people would clown you.
But look now.
It's ill. And these kids are so proud to be able to display it. And shout out to the internet. This is one time that it actually works for the good, right?
Yeah.
Because these kids feel like they really have a chance to be seen.
They do.
And that can lead to opportunity. So I love it. I love opening my shit and seeing them kids fucking it up.
And look at the crossover. You see Sierra came out with an Afrobeat record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, come on,
quit
the toxic.
Yeah.
I did. I got really high-pitched. I was like, oh.
I mean, it's clear that it's the wave.
Yes.
WizKids sold out the O2 Arena.
Oh, my goodness.
With Malik. And, so I feel like this. I mean, I always feel bad because I feel like I hate saying something's a wave when clearly it's been hot.
Right.
We are just catching on.
Exactly.
Right.
Over here on this side. But
it's been since like 2000. This iteration of African music has been since like 2008 in the UK, a bit before that.
Who are your faves? Put us on to some.
Okay, so now that everyone likes. I love Wizkid. I love Tiwa. Wizkid, I love One Day Cole. I love what's that guy? DJ Tunes Iskaba.
Oh, One Day Cole Iskaba. That's my record.
The joys are crazy. Tiwa Savage is my dog. Yes. I love her. Davido.
Mm-hmm.
Just FYI, Davido came out here and gave us like 3 back to back records and said, "Here go your song, I'll hold them. Thank you, appreciate it.
Shut it down real quick.
And I'm just like, again, it's like, this is not how I grew up.
Surreal,
I'm
fiercely
Africanly proud. But it's like to see people out here, like, I meet one of my homegirls and she's definitely American. And she was out here like, "If I tell you, say I love you."
Hey!
And she's singing it. She's singing it in dialect with the voice.
I love
you.
I love you.
Hey! But killing, like,
I go money out every weekend, y'all.
Like, and I fall on you. I'm just like, wait a minute.
That is doing my song. And wasn't he accepting an award at like the BET Awards?
Yeah.
I know that had to be bugged out.
It's a level of pride.
It's awesome.
You guys are the gold standard for everything in the world going out.
Which is sad, because I feel like we actually have the worst music compared to the rest of the world.
But you started off some of the great, and your influence continues. So don't, you know, but at the same time, it's like, man, like we're here.
What a shift, man.
Like, man.
People are listening literally to everything from everywhere.
Shout out to the internet.
So,
yes.
Mm.
This week's episode is also brought to you by HelloFresh. As your family is getting back into the swing of school schedules, let HelloFresh take the guesswork out of meals week after week. Even amidst the after-school chaos, HelloFresh's meal kits make it easy to decide what to do for dinner and have family meals ready in 30 minutes. Not to mention, with easy-to-follow recipes and pre-measured ingredients, HelloFresh comes in handy on those hectic school nights when your to-do list is a mile long or you're busy chauffeuring the damn kids to practices and study groups. Plus, you can get 2 meals out of 1 with HelloFresh leftovers at school and work lunches the next day. There's even a one-pot recipe on the menu every week for those busy weeknights when maximum flavor is minimal cleanup, and it's all ideal. Please discuss the fact that you as well need HelloFresh in your life. When you get an opportunity on social media, in any of the comment sections, on your Twitter accounts, on Instagram, please discuss HelloFresh. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. I do my best to tell people all the time how good it is and how much of a time-saving tool it's been in my day-to-day life, especially as a busy New Yorker on the go. The fact that the ingredients are pre-measured, it just really saves time. So I like to discuss. So you discuss too. For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first 3 boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/FriendZone60 and enter code FriendZone60. It's like receiving 6 meals free when you go to HelloFresh.com/FriendZone60 and enter code FriendZone60.
Thanks again to Talkspace for their continued support of the Friend Zone podcast. Talkspace is the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. All you need is a computer with an internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past. Remember, therapy isn't just about venting your innermost thoughts or digging into childhood memories. It's also about practical, everyday strategies for stress management and living a happier life. Having a therapist simply provides you a designated person for you to talk to who is trained to listen and help you make positive changes. The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are pre-experienced in addressing life challenges we all face. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/zone and use the code ZONE to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's code ZONE and Talkspace.com/zone. Talkspace. Therapy for how we live today. Okay.
So now let's take a turn to TV because Garnett.
Well, right before we go to TV, sorry. Hood celebrity. Amazing.
Every woman on the album is a self-star, is a bootstrapper, is someone who's out here bodying their career on their own. And I did that on purpose. I signed 2 artists to my label called Nick and Navy.
Congratulations.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we heard it now.
They are so brilliant. I love them because Them girls literally shot their video for Heart themselves. They had a video director and it happened. They went to shoot their video in the middle of a hurricane that was hitting the islands. It had just wiped out everything. Everybody had gone home like, nah, we ain't shooting this today. And they said, I bet you we are. And they literally got everything together. And they said, we styled it. We pulled it up. And I said, no, I'd like to sign you today.
Wow.
Because to me, that's what I did. This was it. Like, I didn't have big old glam squad before things moved around. And even if it is, I'm still involved. I didn't have all the money in the world to start my career, but I made it happen. And to me, it's like, if you're in that position to do something and something comes and punches you out of the way and says, nah, and you still manage to get it done, you're supposed to be here. I just want to help.
Word.
So Nick and Navy are on a record with Conscience. I love Hood Celebrity. Mm-hmm. Like how she moves and how she keeps it pushing. Like she's scrappy and she's mm-hmm. young and she's out here. And I think it's dope. And yeah. her energy in real life is her in our real life.
In the real
in
life.
In our real life. Okay. That's really her. Like, I'm just like, you are cool as shit.
Yes.
And Alakai Harley's a British girl. Mm-hmm. Same thing, same verb, same energy. They just got up and they just said, this is who I'm supposed to be. And this is what I'm going to do. And I relate to it and I just want to support it. Yeah, I'm glad you like that.
Yes, yes, yeah. I was listening to the track and I was like, this is dope. Like, it was already a dope track. And then mm-hmm. his celebrity comes on yeah. and I was like, oh shit, and kills it too. So I just had to keep running that back.
Thank you.
But yes, so now that we get to move on into TV segment of this, how did you get into voice acting? Oh, how did Steven Universe come about? Yeah. Just tell me how this all happened.
They called up and they asked me to audition for it. Rebecca was a fan of the music. I did Freak. The video for Freak, and I dreamt that up, and label were bugging, like, you have black on your face, and your lips are pink, and this is blackface. And I was like, it's not. It was art. Missy did it already. Stop it.
Right.
And I just liked it because, to me, it was like about face turned to American Boy. If American Boy is black and white, this is white and black.
Wow.
Just in my head in terms of colors. And it was just the whole, guys, it's balance. I always have a sex song, a reggae song, a 50s doo-wop record and a pop record, like as points of I'm gonna do these records
mm-hmm. right,
because this is how I feel. I'm the main person. So I say all that to say Rebecca Sugar was a really big fan and she essentially was like, will she read for it? She listened to it and she was watching the video while drawing Garnet to have the characters done, and she was like, will I read for it? And I was like, well, what's it about? I had been running my team into the ground about finding me voiceover work. Because everyone was like, your voice sounds like you should do adverts.
Yes.
I was just like, oh, what? Like, it's just that accent. I feel like it's just that accent, guys.
You know? You have a great tone to your tone.
You have such a smooth tone.
Like, even like on the show, like your voice is so like soothing and cool and dope. Yes.
Sounds rich.
Like, yeah.
Yes, absolutely opulence.
So she said that word. Like, I was messing about. I was like, oh, I feel like, no. It's weird. So she calls and they had me go read for it. And I'm just like, I think I can do this. And I read for Amethyst too.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to get that. I hope they pick me for Garnet. Like, I'm not going to get that. I can't do that. My voice is going to be wrecked. She's up and down and yes. excited. And it's like, very oh, no, nah, they're going, oh, I have no voice. I have to sing. It's crazy. And I got the role. And as I've been doing it, she kind of writes more of me into the character. So when I'm really calm, when I'm really my real chill, she's been around us a lot. And, you know, and I kind of walk into the sessions with my glasses on, my headscarf on, sometimes from home.
Dead goals.
Dead ass.
One of the benefits.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
It's funny because, you know, because with this pole in the middle of us, yeah. every now and then I can't see your eyes. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, it's like looking at Garnet.
It's like looking at Garnet.
I love this up a little bit.
She always got them shades on.
Do you understand? It's my life in general,
oh,
guys.
Yes, now we talking to Garnet.
I really do walk around like this. At nighttime, sometimes I feel stupid. But it was that. It was like, she writes so much of us into the show that it really is quite me sometimes. The whole point of Garnet is like about, you know, is to give give people the idea of a balance of like, you can be hot and cold at the same time. You can be up and down, and it's fine, you know, and you can still care and still be loving, but you can be powerful and you can be strong. And clearly it's a black character,
yes, right?
You know,
right.
And that's the other part.
Yes.
The amount of black and brown people I've seen come to these cons over the years has quadrupled. And I know that has to do with the character scene.
Of course.
And I don't write none of this. I'm not taking credit because I don't write any of it. The only influence I have is telling her some of the musical choices when it comes to my character.
Yes.
You know, she'll ask me, so I'm trying to write this kind of song. Who would you suggest I listen to? And, you know, and I'll give her references. And she'll come back out and just have a whole record. And I'm just like, what the hell?
When you were initially reading for the part, did she tell you that music was going to be a part of it?
Yeah, I assumed. I was like, I feel like you guys got me here because you want me to sing at some point. But let me know when. Let me know when.
How did that come up when they asked you to do music for the show?
They were like, well, we have a song. And I was like, what's the song? You know, like, again, what's it sound like? Because you're not going to have me out here.
Right.
It's not gonna happen, bro.
So like, I'm a star.
Okay.
First of all, people trust my voice. Right. What you know about to do?
Singing nothing crazy out here.
But then she was like, "Can this go a little rap in it?" And I was like, "Let me hear the song. Let me hear this rap." And then I listened to it and I was like, "No, this is good. This is for kids. I understand it. Let me. This is good." And then we did "Stronger Than You," and it's got so good.
Look at Sade, he's been cheesing the whole
thing. Yeah, because, you know, Garnet, even the love story between the Stones and stuff is cute. So it's a really, really good show.
It's beautiful to me.
You sound amazing on the show. It was just always such a prize and a present. Like, I remember, like, years ago, just being like, oh, my God, that's Estelle, the voice of this cartoon.
That's so bugged out when y'all tell me that. Like, so bugged out. So cool.
What a dope addition to your portfolio professionally. Like,
exactly. It's like what I do in between. It's my other job. But it's almost like my other job.
One of your chambers. Yeah.
You dressed up as Garnet, right? One time. Mm-mm. Did you see a picture of somebody doing it? Why won't you do it?
Because I feel crazy. Because it's bad enough that I wear glasses and I have black hair. That's like a little poofy.
You could cosplay one time. You could give us one good cosplay.
I'll cosplay when they make it a live action film.
Let's talk about that.
I'll be Estelle in the film and just put it in the air.
Okay.
And I'll do it. And that's what I do.
But if it's a live action film, they ain't going to use your voice.
They will. It'll be me.
They got to.
Okay. It'll be me. Like, it'll be really me.
I'm
like,
ready.
It won't be you. How
or
about
one of
that?
The three. It'll be the character Garnet. Come on. Like, I just, you know, I'll make it go when it needs to go. But, like, it's weird because doing music too. And people were already on my page like, God, it's got new music out. And I'm like, oh, God. Well, I still has new music out. I'm putting myself in the third person and I'm officially a rap.
Is there a difference when you get booked as Garnet? You're like, well, I got this new single. Like, no, we need the Steven Universe.
They do. They want to hear both.
Okay, good.
Now is that parents like my music. Their kids, now they like Garnet and Steven Universe. Then the kids love Garnet and Steven Universe, and now they like my music. So they just both walk up like,
oh, good.
You and the music and the Garnet and the gems. And can you tell Rebecca this for me?
Oh.
You can tweet her that. You can at her. She'll see it.
I bought all the seasons because Crystal. Shout out to Crystal. Yes, Crystal. She is a massive, I mean, massive. Doesn't she have like the little figurines?
Everything. Uh-huh. You sent her something recently, too. I was always trying to plot. I got you.
I didn't think, but I got you.
No, you know.
I got
you. No, you got
it's
me.
Real.
Yeah, we she's a see them massive. All
in
LA.
Yes.
And I remember one day we were at her house. We were both super tired. We've been traveling a lot. And we just sat on her couch and watched Steven Universe for hours.
Yes.
It's so good.
It's so hippie.
It's good to get high too and watch too.
And that's why it's so good. But honestly,
it's so hippie,
honestly, that's why I watch it. Like, it's good to, like, you know, all right, like, this is, I need to put some on while I roll up. And then, you know, I get me a little lifted and I'm watching the show.
Next thing you know.
Steven got me wanting a damn cookie cat. Like, I need me a cookie cat.
Episode
right
with cookie the cat fingers?
Yeah. That one was weird as hell.
It creeps me out.
And so I play the game, the Battle Crashers or whatever. Okay, and so every time I see the little cat, I get a little weirder. I'm like, all right, you know, we gotta include this. It's weird.
Yeah.
But yes, so much magic with you and Steven Universe. And I know we talked earlier about you doing another show. So, Icebreaker. If you had your own cartoon show and it was musically inclined and stuff like that, I need you to pick three people that you would have sing on your show.
This is going to be hard.
This is a hard one?
This is hard.
Okay, can I make it harder then? What would your cartoon be about?
Oh, gosh. All right, let's go back to the first question. I think I would. Oh, it's hard. Oh, you know what? It would be funny to me, I think, Trey Songz. singing on the cartoon.
Yes. Yes. I like that.
Because he has a very animated voice. A very animated voice. Real life. It's just, it's stuff
it's
to
perfect.
It.
It's perfect. No, yes. I can't unsee it and unhear it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, which one of y'all? Like,
what about Ronald Isley?
Ooh.
He needs to play somebody granddaddy.
Let me tell you.
La, da, da,
and I seen him sing the other week.
Uh-huh.
And he's floated on stage with that. La, la, la. Ooh.
Yes.
I was like, did you see
Epic. Isley?
Ronald Isley, Trey Songz, that'd be fun.
What a lineup.
Okay. Well, what type of cartoon is we watching now?
Some Quiet Storm ass cartoon.
Oh, you know who else has a really animated voice? I don't remember his name. Oh, no, I do. What's so beautiful?
James Blunt.
James Blunt.
Yep.
James Blunt. Imagine a character walking around singing in his Your Beautiful Voice, talking or singing in his Your Beautiful Voice.
I saw your face.
You feel me?
I was fucking high.
Yeah. I don't want to walk over there.
Like, I cannot believe I just heard Estelle singing Your Beautiful. This is like, I'm, when I tell you.
That would be so fun.
You're beautiful.
It's true.
Oh, this character,
see what? Like that, and just think of a character walking around singing like that. Come over here,
yo! I can really see this happening.
Like
that's
seriously,
what I'm most out about it.
Well, whenever this cartoon happens, I need a cameo or a voice cameo. Okay,
you
know, I've been trying to get into the voice acting myself. So
let me hear a character.
Oh, God.
Now, every time I come around here, I have to tell you motherfuckers to leave me alone. I'm not doing that shit anymore.
See, that sounds good.
It's like
right?
A country, like, hood rat.
Inspiration.
On HBO.
Look, Inspiration was the cop on Ozark, the one that was working for the dirty folks, but then, you know, he ain't got a whole lot of pull anyway.
I'm dead to the bed.
I'm just like, that sounds like a character on Bob's Burgers.
Oh, my God. You watch Bob's Burgers?
Yeah. You sound like someone that just rolled up to Bob's Burgers and like was just being awkward and weird and rude.
I sound like the aunt's brother or the mom's brother or something if she had one.
Yes.
You know the mom,
yes.
She's like, "Oh, you know, I'm having such a good time today." It's like really bad.
You're so good.
See, I told you I could do a little acting. So,
did you watch cartoons before you got into this or are you watching them more now?
I'm watching them more now, but I was always a Family Guy girl. I like it. It's ridiculous.
Do you watch American Dad?
I did. I was early on that.
Did you ever watch the CeeLo episode where he was the hot tub?
Oh my God.
You gotta watch
I'm not
that
doing this with you today.
You have to watch that episode.
I'm not doing this.
Okay, no, I'ma just tell you. I'ma just tell you this. It's an episode of American Dad. The dad gets into a car accident, so somebody make him go buy a hot tub. He buys his hot tub. Yeah. And the episode is the Little Shop of Horrors / Little Shop of Hot Tubs.
So the hot tub is like Audrey, the plant. It's like hot tub and talks just, and
I'm
sitting there going, I feel like I've seen this.
What cartoon is it?
American Dad. CeeLo's the hot tub. He's like, dip a toe.
Yes, it is.
Ain't nobody gotta know.
It is the funniest thing. And that CeeLo sings these songs.
He sings tons of
the.
He sings like three or four of the songs in the episode. And then there's another song, Hot Tub of Love, and it's like HOTTUB, and they're like Hot Tub.
I'm done.
I have a question
about
to watch
this.
It.
Like, what are you doing, sir? What's the plan?
I was like, who wrote this episode?
I watched it.
It's probably my most watched Family Guy episode. I mean, American Dad episode.
How does he go? He said, what? Dip a toe?
Dip a toe. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody got
I can hear
know.
It in his voice. Mm-hmm.
Right? I was like, is that CeeLo?
I wanted to
And CeeLo was, because he was like, hello, this is a cautionary tale. And he's like talking off screen. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
He actually played a really good villain in that episode, too, because that hot tub got a little mean.
Yes.
It was. You said Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh yeah, so once the hot tub turned into like the mean hot tub, CeeLo was knocking that out the park. I was like, let me find out CeeLo mean.
Yes.
CeeLo mean.
It's all different personality bits. It's all characters. It's all what we've experienced.
Love it.
Now our editor, shout out to Ty. He actually had a couple questions for you. Which I love because we genuinely all love you on here.
Yes.
But he told me to ask you about your beauty routine. Oh, he was like, ask her what she uses on that skin because it is flawless.
Thank you. We need to know.
Thank you. You're so nice. Oh, it's terrible when I take. No, I'm joking. I had to, I know I'm not going to be long-winded. It's water, it's sleep, and it's trying not to put so much on my face and washing it ritualistically every night. And then when I do use makeup, I've discovered this lady called Danessa Myricks has a really beautiful gold pigment liquid. Mm-hmm. I'm giving up the jewels. And she has gold, bronze, and different things. And I just put a little bit of that in whatever tinted moisturizer and just mix it all up and kind of just go all over the place with it. And that's
so it gives you like a little sparkle.
Yeah, you feel like zhuzhed. Mm-hmm. And then like other than that, I just try and take it off and every night and take care of my skin. And my family isn't, we don't have the best face skin. My dad's part of the family. One of my little sisters has amazing skin.
But she we're looking exactly at you in your
flowers. Right, I'm sitting up here. Right.
I don't see cool. makeup.
I'll take it. It's called NARS and Laura Mercier mixed with some Danessa Pyrex. And a good eyelash. No, I learned how to do it after makeup and just take care of my skin after having people do so much to it. And I was just like, everyone get
especially
off
with glam and all tours and shows. And
people like, I hate when people are like, I'm going to come beat your face. And then you end up looking like your face was really beat. Mm-hmm. Like I looked hit. I look at old pictures and I'm
she
just
said
like,
I looked hit.
I looked crazy back in the day. And like, so people come to me now like, you're really good. It's impressive. And I'm like, thank you. I felt so my whole life, but I just know you couldn't tell because of the makeup. And because I look crazy.
Very make or break.
Oh my goodness.
Right.
I had to stop people. Like, relax, man.
Look, that is hilarious. They're coming in on your face and you like.
No, it's a real thing. They laugh at me. No, I see. Let me see that. Nope. They use too much gold. Nope. They don't use the right concealer.
You ain't about to be looking like you got your makeup done at the resting
you
home.
The resting
home.
Wow.
The resting home.
No.
Now I'm curious on your days off. Yeah. What are you like? What are you watching and what are you listening to?
Yes.
Like what shows is this stuff watching and who is she listening to? Who's on your Spotify list?
All of the shows that everyone watches for sure.
Like what?
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
All the Atlanta. Yes. I sometimes do little reviews. I watch them and just do my reactions. Well, I can't be bothered. But like, and then I follow you guys, and I'm here dying laughing because the reactions are hilarious.
Yes,
and I'm just like, this is what they said. Like, retweet that. All right, I can't really retweet that because they follow me.
No,
like, but this is mad funny, and like, I'll just be dying. I'll be sending it to my team like, yo, Asante said or Dustin said it. Like, Fran out here being slick. I seen that, Fran. Like, you hilarious. Like. It's funny to me. Like, I watch it. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
I don't take it serious either way. But music, I stay in my old bag. I stay in my old school a lot. I have to kind of get forced to listen to today because I don't want to sound like no one. And then, like, you absorb, you know.
Of course. Yeah. Naturally,
I absorb a lot. And so I just kind of, like, stay in my Bob Marley, my old school playlists and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I have a record player, too.
Does anybody ever take you out of your element? They're like, oh, you should listen to this. Or they send you stuff?
Yeah, all day. And I take it and I listen. But my team know it's such a space where it's like, yeah, don't send me stupid words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't send me records with dumb words. Like, if the record doesn't make sense, or so what are we going for here? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be hearing. And then I'm particular, especially going through the, I want to be a better human. I want to be a better woman. I want to not do the same things I did before, in particular about the songs and the subjects that I listen to now. So, like, it's a lot of records I used to listen to be like, that's my, oh, this is crazy. And I'm listening back and I'm like, well, that's why I was on some bullshit because this was my joint.
Okay.
You know, these
yo,
records
that's so real. When you listen back, like, what is the connection now?
Man, this record is terrible. I'm not, And a lot of them include R. Kelly. Music.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was a whole. R. Anyway, so, but point being, point
there you
example,
go,
mm-hmm. There's a lot of records that I've had to be like, oh, can't listen to you no more. Because it's just like,
half
personally,
of my faves been canceled.
Oh, my God.
Man. It's been a rough year.
It's been horrible. And not even just canceling them more than just the subject matters are not
right.
What I want in my spirit anymore.
That's
not
real.
What I want in my energy. I'm good.
That's real.
There's so much good out there. I'll take, you know, I'll find them. There's a lot of good, you know? It go back because the 50s in Motown had a lot of like, what are you saying, sir? And is she supposed to do who?
Yeah.
Okay.
And her?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite songs is Into the Night by Benny Mardones.
No, yeah.
And he starts off the verse by saying, she's just 16 years old.
You
Leave
say?
Her alone, they say.
Oh, my word.
And I was
what?
Like,
whoa.
I was like for I've been singing this for years. And then one day I was like, she. wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's
how your awareness like shifts after at yeah, one point. You're life, like, hold up.
Yeah.
I don't do that no more. It was if you want someone to play with, go find yourself a little toy.
Yes,
and my hairdresser used to sing that back and forth to each other, just messing about. And then I just thought about the fact that I was inviting someone to put me in the position to sing that to them. That was, you know, the things you sing about are the things you, or the things that you repeat are the things you want in your life.
I was like, I don't want to be nobody's toy.
It's hard.
Because, you know, it's an ongoing joke on this show. I listen to like Lil Pump and he don't sing about nothing.
Nothing.
And sometimes I'll be singing along like, this is ridiculous.
No, it's hard. I give myself a break,
but it
though.
Knocks.
A caveat is like, if I'm drunk in the club, fuck it.
Right. Okay.
But if I'm not and I'm conscious and I'm here and I'm home and I'm aware of it, what are you doing?
Right.
You're trying to sabotage yourself at that point, girl. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? You're trying to.
Right.
So I try.
Especially energetically. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be performing? Can we catch some gigs?
Well, we're on the Full Out tour early next year, but January, February. But I'm doing spot dates all up and down. This Thursday, I have one at Plus 14 Plus Foundation. And I'm doing it because it's a charity that specializes in directly giving back to kids in Africa. Mm. It's not via the different channels. It's like we're sponsoring that school, you know, and you can see the work that they do for that school.
Yes.
And I just want to, my philanthropy arm is about mentoring and helping, not reinventing the wheel, but supporting people who are doing the work. You know, like I just don't want to start a new thing to do this new thing and it ends up being lumped into the old systems because they're bigger than us.
Right.
You know? And I support them, and I'm gonna go do that show for them on Thursday. It's gonna be a good one.
You're performing some stuff off Lover's Ride.
New records, and I am so scared.
Ooh,
yes.
I'm so sad. I want to see.
I know.
I'll come back around in early next year, and I'll probably do some more before that in New York.
Well, we will definitely be in the house. I'm not missing
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Let me start learning the words now, so I can sing along.
Okay, immediately. Okay.
Okay.
Ay, 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 ay.
Okay. Because you're not gonna. Look, I'm gonna run up on snap.
Come on,
stage
it.
And just snap. Just like. Snap real hard.
Just real hard. I'm gonna have a whole mic. Just run for your off. Snaps.
Okay.
No, I'm gonna have a mic for your snaps.
Just
you
the ups. Don't tell me
you
that.
Ready? Come on.
Look, I'm gonna just do this.
Career.
Just a smile. Give me a little choreography.
That'd be so cool. I do that kind of thing. I'm so serious. You think I'm joking? It's going to be a whole mic.
Give me a black and gold outfit, and I will be right
black
there
and gold
with you.
At come your on, best.
You see this?
And I told you, look. I still have the affinity for the purple, so.
Oh, come on.
I'll tell you now. Listen.
This is the black and gold.
Well, you're killing the cartoons. You're killing the music. You're touring. Is there anything, I mean, if you have time, I don't even know how you would have the time, but is there anything else you haven't hit yet that you would like to kind of like step into, dibble dabble in?
I feel like just because I'm like that, I want to say nerd with a bad connotation, but I'm like into techie stuff a lot.
Ooh.
And I always say, like, I just want like an app to kind of help me in my life, in my effective life. So I'm always like, man, I just want to find like a way to be involved in tech that helps people kind of do. I know, because everyone says like an app is like your shortcut, your assistant, and you still got to do things. And then sometimes it's like, there's nothing more amazing than an actual human to help you do the things that need to get done, you know,
right.
Like, and I know there's the different apps. I know there's like TaskRabbit and blah, blah, blah. Things are a little difficult, you know, so I'd like to probably, I want to say, develop something that's a little bit more streamlined and easier as far as like humans helping other humans do things that need to be done.
So like an app basically that would like send somebody a text message when their breath stinks.
That's one.
Like something like that.
An accountability app.
Or also, hey, I need you to go to my house and do this. And you always work with this person, but you don't have to do all the things around it. Like, you know, you can do your references, get it right. You know, there's things. Especially when I think about how our lifestyles are all super transient. We're all like moving around so much and no one's in one place. And I need help. Like, I'd be at home, like, I know my house is a tip right now.
because I definitely threw everything in the bag
in 2 weeks. Yo, that's so real. Like that. Yeah. The other day I got home and I had so many dishes in the sink and I was so tired. It's just been a long month and I was like, I would pay someone $1,000
right now. Someone's listening to this right now going, just get an assistant. I don't like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, it don't really work like that.
It don't work like that.
You know? And I wouldn't have an assistant washing my dishes. Oh. Like, that's a little ridiculous.
It would just get cleaner, but you need someone to trust. You get on TaskRabbit.
You know?
In your space like that, yeah.
And in your face and essentially becoming you and figuring out all the things. And not everybody has a significant other and not everybody has the luxury of having a maid or a whoever.
Hell no. So I wish.
You know. It's kind of like TaskRabbit, but you need somebody that's like vetted. Like it needs to be like a partnering system ahead of time. Yeah.
So we're giving up mad jewels. Don't you dare go and take this idea and do it, nobody.
No, listen, it's time stamped right now.
Okay. Yep.
We know who said it first.
Okay.
But like, you know, I have to figure it out some more, but I feel like it's gonna be there soon.
I love that idea. Well, I'm your first sign up.
Okay.
So tech is next.
Tech is next.
I'm here for it. Do you guys have anything else before Estelle gets out of here?
Just want to say thank you. That's all. I'm so happy and thanks for making it easy. Nowadays, people have really taken the fun out of being a fan of them.
Really?
And you have not fallen victim to that, and I don't see it happening anytime soon. So thank you for making it fun for us.
You gotta be happy.
Yay.
Okay, I have one last thing before you go.
Yeah.
Amazing singer, amazing voice, amazing talent. Duets.
Yeah.
In the future, if I was to catch you do a duet with people that you want to sing with, give me three people you would want to do duets with in the future.
Besides Dead Mary J. Blige, which would make my heart smile
This is, I feel like, where we connected on the net, because it was just like, Mary! Like, you understand? She was one of my, like, temples when I was a kid, too.
Hell yeah,
13,
man.
14 years old, singing, "Lucky Hearts Are Real Love, and I Don't Know." Had no rasp in my voice. And then,
"High and Low." I still dress like that album.
Listen. Ooh. You bang the walls and you know. Like.
Yes.
So, she's one. I have to say Mary. It's hard. And it gets hard. All right. Mary... Tina Turner.
Oh my.
Ooh, yes.
Let's talk about that video. Like, right?
Tina's the queen. She's my queen.
Ooh, and that vocal. I just heard it.
You heard it?
Ooh.
The rasp.
She's one of the ones. And if she was alive. Oh, I can't. You said 5 years from now, so I can't even do.
No, I said in the future. But it could be anybody, dead or alive, whoever you want.
All right. No, I'll do someone alive. I'm thinking of a good guy singer I'd really want to work with. It's hard.
There's so many choices.
Would you work with Ray Shremmer?
You know.
That actually would be good.
I get so actually fun. I like them. Yeah. Them boys are good.
I know they're good.
The melody.
I'm thinking about back when you did Freak and stuff like that. Like, you could really, like, turn some shit out with them.
Estelle and Sway Lee on the track. Nah, listen, I'm pressing play.
They're ahead. I like them. Like, it's not too many of the news that I even understand. No, there's a few news, I get it. But like, I like his grasp on melody and his intention.
Yes.
Like, he's really good. Like, yes. He's clear about, like, I'm a kid and I'm a mess around, but here go these songs.
Right. Yep. Like, I'm working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that. So I would. Yeah. It's a good one. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Very sure.
You just put that in the ether.
That was it. Yeah, I just, you know, I always got to ask like a ratchet question or something. So that was it for me.
Well, and tell our listeners where they can find you, because I know they're going to be looking for you all over the internet to harass you and tell you how much they love the album.
I appreciate it, guys. I really do. I feel crazy sometimes, but this isn't one of those times.
No, they love you.
You can find me at Estelle Darlings on Instagram and Twitter and /Estelle on Facebook. Snapchat's Estelle Darlings, I think. Shazam's Estelle Darlings.
Estelle
Darlings.
So many
apps, right?
Is it offensive to try to do the accent?
No, you do voices. You're good.
Well, because you know you were like Twitter. So I was like, oh, the Twitter.
On the Twitter. I'm learning an American accent, which is interesting.
Can you do it for us?
No. Terrible.
Yo, I'm always shocked.
I am too. No, when people switch it.
First of all, do you watch Snowfall?
No.
So
I saw it. I know you're talking about
the lead. I'm like, okay, you know, he's this kid on the show. Mm-hmm. Where are they from? Like Compton?
No. Oh, yeah. I think they are.
I think it might be Compton.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had this hard-ass, like, L.A. accent. Mm-hmm. And then I was looking him up because I was like, where is this kid from? And he is from the U.K.
Yep. Damson.
And that Idris. Always blows. Idris, same with Idris, too. Accent,
like... I was like, who is this guy and who is your teacher?
Okay.
With Idris on the wire. Yep. You could not have told me he was from the U.K.
I knew, though. I was like, nah, Idris, uncle. Like, I call him Uncle Idris. It's family. Like, it's Uncle Idris. Everyone, it's weird because everyone's like, don't you fancy him? No. Mm-mm.
So Uncle, we're going to hear you with an American accent on something?
At some point, it's going to happen, guys. And I'm going to
give it a
myself.
Harlem twist if you need I'm help. Try. You know what I mean?
Okay. I'll teach things. Yeah. I'm joking. I'm going to be like, it's a friend. How you saying?
Yeah. I'm going to teach you the Atlanta way, too, then.
I need to
gonna
know.
Give you all love them.
Look, I called my homegirl who went to Spelman.
You see?
Her family's from Alabama, and she went to Spelman. And she went to lived in Atlanta for long, so I had to audition for something. I was like, girl, how, what? Say things. Because I need to know.
I got you if you need any help with the cuss words. Inflection. You know, they got to land a certain way. Yeah. So I got you with
that. Okay, I'm really serious. You don't think
I'm desperate.
Oh, no. We want this to be right. Oh, so okay. We got you.
Okay, yeah. We're ready.
Okay.
Thank you, Estelle.
Thank you so much for coming through.
Like, unbelievably honored.
Oh, grateful.
That you would sit with us.
This feels like home. Thank you for having me.
We love you. I feel like we've already been doing the show online through our conversations. Yes. And thank you for all the gifts you've sent us.
Yes,
Estelle. All the love. Like, you always show us hella love. So we're thankful that you could sit with us and take time out of your day.
Thanks for having me.
Anything you want listeners to know before we get out of here?
Buy the album, stream the album. I don't care. Feel it. Just enjoy it and come out and see the show. I do care about that. Come and see the show.
Yes.
So watch for those tour dates, January and February.
So
right?
We'll be able to just go to all your social media sites and find them.
All the socials, everywhere. Yeah, you'll see as soon as we put them up, they'll be everywhere.
Bomb, well, we're waiting.
Yes.
Thank you,
Estelle. Thank you, Estelle. Support Estelle.
Thank you so much, Estelle.
And as always, thank you guys so much for listening. Yeah. We love you, and we will catch you next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
Thanks again to Calm for supporting this week's show. Calm, the number one app for sleep, meditation, and relaxation. It gives you the tools you need to live a happier, healthier, and more mindful life. Just 5 minutes of Calm can change your entire day. Interested in trying it? Well, for a limited time, the Friend Zone listeners can get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/friendzone. This includes unlimited access to all of Calm's amazing content, plus hundreds of hours of premium programs like daily guided meditations called the Daily Calm, sleep stories, which are like bedtime stories for grown-ups, and much, much more. Get started today at calm.com/friendzone. That's calm.com/friendzone.